The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for the Jets. Week 2, Thursday night. Jets and the Patriots will have the whole NFL to themselves tomorrow night. The world can watch two teams that may not be able to score a point.
Wow.
No, I'm only kidding.
Fred, a little down on the offense.
Turn on your mic. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500, are the ace ticket hotlines.
Of course, in Australia, 1-800-429-2286.
Andy brought down.
Ukraine, 0800-502749.
Okay. All right. So we're ready to go here. The NFL.
We have a number in the Ukraine.
The NFL Network.
Yes, we have listeners there.
Yeah, we have the
Andrew.
Andrew,
who else?
We have a fan club there.
Just because they don't call or write doesn't mean they're not
so
listening.
So we should just email him the number and be nice. We could actually interact
Hopefully
personally.
He can grow the...
Why don't you take that on?
Grow Patriots Nation in the Ukraine.
Isn't it like only 10% or less of people who actually listen to shows call in and or
yeah,
write in?
Yeah. Yes, Eric.
So there's probably...
Paul knows that.
There's probably at least 10 people in the Ukraine.
Yeah. All right, so... things are exciting.
I thought you were going to say, like, only 10% have phones in all these countries.
No. Things are really amping up here at Gillette Stadium. The NFL Network truck is here. They're getting the field ready after last night. They had to take up the grass from the Brazil-Portugal game. And
Who won that?
Brazil 3-1.
But more importantly, USA beat Mexico and clinched their World Cup qualifier.
I did see that, believe it or not.
Now, when's
I didn't
the
see
Cup?
The game. I saw that they had won.
No, next June.
Next June.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Where is that?
Brazil.
Okay.
Rio.
So yesterday there was some,
you knew that?
I'd say, sad news for the Patriots. Shane Vereen put on IR designated to return, which means the earliest he can come back is week 10.
Carolina.
Because
week
November 9 is 18th. A bye week for the Patriots. So.
He's going to be out on the field jogging around.
Yeah, I believe it's week 11 is the first week he can play.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think it might be 11.
It gets later every time I hear it.
It's 11.
No, well, 2 Look, through 9 is 8 weeks, and then the next week is a bye week.
Right.
Okay.
So it's technically
it's a Carolina,
you've missed one.
The Carolina
You have
game,
to
though.
Miss eight more.
Right.
Then you miss one because it's a bye, so that's 11.
Yeah. So that's
Not good.
Unfortunate news.
It's awful.
Reports continue to trickle out about Danny Amendola, and most of them involve him not playing.
Correct.
Thursday night.
So, very unlikely, I believe.
So we're going to talk about, you know, what can the Patriots do offensively tomorrow night to score some points?
I already have one option. The option.
Tom Brady runs. Pointed to your phone.
Somebody tweeted, Tom Brady's going to run the read option for 75
yards. You were going to say re-sign Tebow.
He's available. He didn't sign with the L.A. Kiss yet, did he?
The L.A. Kiss?
Yeah, they
he was offered a three-year contract.
Who was the L.A. Kiss? Basketball league?
Arena Football League, owned by Kiss.
Oh. Kiss
really?
108?
What's their logo?
No, like.
The rock band?
The rock band, really?
Gene Simmons? And company.
What, is there a tongue as their logo?
I don't know.
Anyway.
It was a publicity stunt.
Kevin, see if you can scrounge up the logo for the L.A. Kiss, the Arena League. I'd like to see what their logo is.
They did write it in all caps when I saw it in the scroll on ESPN.
Although the Rolling Stones have that logo, too.
Yeah, but theirs is more rounded. Their tongue is more pointed.
Right.
It's a different tongue.
It's true.
Obviously. It's like Vanilla Ice. No, theirs is done.
Yeah, right.
Any other news I need to put on the table before we start dissecting?
Matthew Mulligan re-signed.
Matt Mulligan back in the fold.
Matt Mulligan. Maine's own Matt Mulligan.
Yep. Yeah.
After the big victory for Maine here at Gillette Stadium,
yeah.
He gets to come back as a player.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
That's it.
Well, Quentin Sims is gone,
yeah.
So Eldridge might be upset.
Right.
I'm really disappointed I missed Eldridge's call yesterday.
And later in the show, because it is Wednesday and there's a game tomorrow, we won't have a PFW in progress,
but
a PPGS.
PPGS.
So we'll do our picks in the last segment of the show. And there's, I'll give you a tease. I don't want to let it out yet, but there already is controversy.
In the record-keeping.
Yeah, we have a reader who is keeping track.
Yeah,
it's going to
wait.
No. And there's already controversy. There's a reader keeping track.
As I've known for years, Paul has been padding the book.
Right.
So we'll get to that.
As I've said for years, if you want to take over the
we'll have to do our picks.
The offer stands.
And we'll find out who won week one.
Probably me.
So, probably not you. All right.
Definitely not you with the spread.
I struggle with the spread.
So, you know, the headlines here in New England right now as related to the Patriots is what's going to happen with the offense. Vereen's out. Amendola's out. Bolden's got a knee. Sudfeld's got a hamstring. What are we
– Washington has a thigh.
Dobson has a knee.
Right. So
hamstring.
Hamstring.
It's a hamstring.
So we're – you know, put on your Josh McDaniels visor. And what do you do with this offense for Thursday night?
I think Dobson.
Run.
Why am I talking
I think Dobson
like Bob Neumeier?
Plays.
Dobson plays. Dobson said he's going to play. I fully expect to play.
Well, he said it last week, too. I'm excited. I can't wait for my opening game. Yeah,
that's why I put the hamstring in quotes.
Well, he's done then. If he doesn't play this week, he's done.
Right.
And year one Dobson. Done. I'll cut ties.
Why do you say that?
With the health issues and the lack of weapons, if your second-round pick can't get on the field, then he's done.
Well, if he really is... You know, has a hamstring, he can't play.
It doesn't seem like he has a hamstring. He seems very adamant.
He didn't seem
to
think it was an issue.
Okay.
Last week, according to what Eric said that he was talking about, he expected to play last week.
And if he does, what do you expect from him?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Andy about this.
I'm Andy.
I thought the three rookies had their moments. Well, that was really bizarre.
Why?
I thought the three rookies all had their moments at various times during training camp. I would say that probably Tompkins was the most consistent out of the three, but I thought all three had days where they looked pretty good. Evidently, our feelings aren't shared in that. I was just telling Andy, our good buddies at ESPN Boston, I was reading something about the receiver situation now in light of the fact that Amendola is probably not going to be able to play. And it said that Dobson could be activated, but even if he was... that he would likely be in a reserve role because he was, quote, clearly behind the other two rookies during training camp. I didn't really see it that way.
No.
What happened,
it was a gradual growth by Tompkins that overtook Dobson. But early on, Dobson was better than
Boyce was never the leader, in my opinion.
That's correct.
Matter of fact, I would say that Boyce was always number three.
No, that's what I mean.
Three,
yeah.
Until he got some opportunities very late to join Tompkins,
right.
And maybe squeaked past Dobson at one point, but I don't think he was clearly Dobson I'm talking about. I don't think he was ever clearly the last guy on that list.
No, not at all.
I actually think for a short time he was clearly the head guy. Early on in camp, I thought he was clearly the opportunity to be the first rookie.
Yep.
Andy made the point about Boyce yesterday. I think it's a good one. I think he's a guy that potentially could. Why do you keep saying that? It's very strange.
Yeah, stop.
I think that he's a guy that could potentially be a little bit of an X factor. I'm not expecting him to go out and catch 10 or 12 passes, but I do think he could make a big play or two.
And that, I think he's
that could be important.
To. Especially if Dobson's not going to play again. My offense this week is Ridley. You don't have any other options. You got to get Ridley back out there. He can run the football. Edelman, boom, 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 short. Boys deep. Very simple. Let's simplify.
And Tompkins will likely.
Do we get Hooman
back
involved or Sudfeld? Do we get any production out of the tight end position?
I don't know if
Sudfeld's
going to play.
I just
Sudfeld might not play. They brought
true.
In Mulligan,
that's
and
true.
And he's got a hamstring.
And right. Whether Sudfeld plays
and he
or
looked
not,
awful for that one play they threw to him.
I don't look at. I'm not looking for much production from
that's
those
the logo,
two.
Just like there.
Oh, that's awful.
That was their Rock Band logo.
That's the Kiss logo.
No, I know. It's
I
awful.
Mean, that's the football logo.
Yeah, no, I know, but
stupid.
That is the Kiss logo.
So they wear that on their helmets?
I want to see a tongue.
But that's
spikes.
Not a Kiss logo.
Does Kiss have spikes too? Do they wear spikes?
Well, that's what they wear. And
yeah,
stuff, but that's their logo.
Yeah.
That's
no,
exactly
it's
what that's their logo
stupid.
Is.
Yeah, it's right on their website.
Wow,
everything.
Imagine wearing that on your helmet.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, imagine being called the L.A. Kiss. Well.
Oh, Kiss this.
anyway, I don't look for the tight ends to be a huge part until Gronk gets back.
What I mean, they threw him three balls the other day, and it worked out well.
Was it that many?
It was three. Well, there was two targets
was
for Hooman.
I saw
he caught one, and Sudfeld. You know,
Hooman caught one.
Yeah. Well, I know Hooman caught one, and
so
I knew that Sudfeld
three.
Had one go off his hands. But they targeted Hooman another time that
yes.
he didn't catch.
They did.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't expect the tight end, and I don't think that had anything to do with health with those two guys on Sunday. I just don't really look for those guys to be big parts of the passing game, and that will likely, in my opinion, stay the same until Gronk gets back. Then obviously you have the premier tight end in football, and you got to use him.
So, maybe when Gronk gets back. Not Gronkowski.
I did say Gronk, did I?
Yeah, but
I not
Gronkowski.
But I said Gronk.
Okay.
Not Gronkowski.
Did you mean it? Are
I
you now
want,
using
I
my lingo?
I didn't want you to get all confused.
Well, I mean, we're already writing off Tompkins, but
I'm
is
not.
He still part
no,
of it?
No, I'm not writing off.
I'm not writing off Tompkins.
He was the biggest disappointment and biggest surprise
but,
for
you
me.
Know, is he part of the game plan this Thursday
night?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure, he has to be.
Hopefully he's better.
I just hope it's not as big a part of the game plan as he was on Sunday.
He's the healthiest receiver, though.
Well, Edelman's healthy.
Well, okay, but I always hold my breath.
Just assume he's
no, but I always hold my breath with him.
I love it. Who wrote in yesterday? His status is between injuries.
Yes, that was very good.
Who wrote that?
One of our right.
That was very good.
Our listeners, they can bring it sometimes. That's good stuff.
So
his status is between injuries.
I mean, so really, the only veteran receiver will be Edelman. Is that correct? Am I right?
Well,
Slater.
I'm
Matthew
not,
Slater. Yeah.
I'm not. As concerned about this whole situation. I don't think
really?
The situation is anywhere near as dire as it's
but
being portrayed.
The
They're 13-point favorites for a reason.
Because no one will bet on the Jets because they stink too.
But
that's why.
As Fred said.
They opened at 10.
Because team is going to score points.
So before anybody put a dollar down, they were 10-point
right,
favorites.
Right, because the Jets fans aren't betting on them this year.
No,
that's
before,
why.
No, but before that, the Patriots are vastly superior to the Jets is my point.
I know. But
okay.
But
as long as we have that all in,
the money's going up. The line's
because the
going
Patriots
up,
are better.
No, the line's going up because no money for the Jets is coming in. That's why.
But why is there no money coming
because,
in on the Jets?
Because the Jets absolutely stink.
Exactly.
Right. But I'm.
That's
just,
why I'm not as concerned about it as you know the way it certainly seems
okay,
that you sound.
But let's look at this. You know, analytically, you know the Jets probably can do a good job against the run.
I agree.
You know. So that does leave it again in Brady's hands, and
that's okay.
And I like that.
But you know, we'll see. It,
much
it,
like
it's not
I think
be
the
as
Patriots
easy
will
as
probably
it should be.
But I think the Patriots will probably do a pretty good job against the run too, and therefore it is now in Geno Smith's hands.
Right.
That's why the Patriots are 13-point favorites.
Well,
because
whose hands
not,
would you rather
it's now
have
in
it
Tom
in?
Brady's hands and Geno Smith's hands.
I'm,
let's
I'm,
see what happens.
I'm I'll give you.
I don't know about you, Fred. I'll go with Brady.
I'll tell you right now. I'm taking the points.
I listen. That's
you're supposed to save it.
Yeah,
for the
that's
end
a
of
tease.
The show.
Yeah. That's
no,
a
it's
tease.
A terrible tease.
But that I mean, you might do that. That's possible. But I don't think the situation is as dire as it's being portrayed as. They're missing their second running back and their top receiver.
I'm not saying it's dire. I'm saying it's going to be a challenge. It will be a challenge.
And more of a challenge than it would have been a week ago.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the part of it that's the wrinkle.
And,
is that
and
you
and
didn't
part
know.
Of it is Brady. If and, you didn't have ultimate confidence in Brady, no, you'd feel totally different.
There's going to be parts of this game where I'm banging my head against the wall because it seems like the offense is stuck in mud.
Yeah, there will be times when you're going to be mad.
Yes.
You. What are they doing? You will throw your hands up in the air.
Absolutely. I fully anticipate that.
Which is why the man in focus is the man with the visor, as you said earlier, yeah. Josh McDaniels. I think this is a challenging stretch for him. Short week, injuries, key players, didn't look good, Tompkins, young guys, you know, kind of coddling them, getting, maybe Tompkins, it was too much too soon. So now you pull that back, but can you afford to pull that back with no one else to slide into that spot?
You know, the media was in a frenzy when they found out that the Patriots wouldn't have any full pads practices this week. Turns out the Jets aren't either. But
I really liked, in along those lines,
yeah.
I really liked the way Bill handled that, too. It was like, have you ever done this before? Many times. It was like, you guys don't even pretend to know anything about the sports. I like it when he slaps us around like that.
Yeah,
especially when I'm
not
around.
It was a curious question.
Especially when I'm not involved
question.
In it.
So,
is it a big deal? The fact that they're not.
He's undefeated. He's undefeated.
What?
Bill, nothing. Undefeated in press conferences.
Nothing.
He wins every one.
Is it a big deal that, you know, they're not really having any pads practices?
No.
No. God, no.
No, I don't.
They didn't
so.
Do it.
They just played a game.
Right.
This is insane that they play these Thursday games. But
and
you got to do something.
You know, the whoever was asking the question should have thought back to last year when they played on Thanksgiving on a Thursday and did the exact yeah. same thing.
It's
well, as they did this week.
That's my point.
You know?
Like Bill, you know, have you ever done
yeah.
many times? Was I think that
why can't we play on
that
Friday?
That's a high school.
That's
night.
High school night. Yeah,
they don't want to get in the way of
every
that.
Night now is high school and college night.
Right.
So
oh, yeah,
I don't like that.
I
like the tradition of having it. You know,
no,
college
but,
should be on Saturday.
But that's all gone.
High school on
college
Friday.
Starts Thursday, Wednesday. All
I know.
Once
I
the
like
season
it.
Gets going, this game's
yeah.
all like Tuesday, Wednesday,
and
Thursday.
NFL is Thursday,
college,
Saturday.
Yeah.
And I feel like
it.
All those rules that were once traditional go out the window. So if you're gonna put it on Friday, it gives you that extra day and makes it part of the weekend. It's Friday night. It's terrible TV night. You'll dominate TV if you want. And you got your alliteration, football Friday, Friday football kind of thing. So
yeah, that should play into the decision-making
yeah,
process.
I hate having less games on Sunday.
He's Andy.
You know?
Me too, Fred. I like to know what days we got.
Oh,
know?
I kind of like being able to watch a game on Thursday night. Because I like football.
It just seems so.
Oh my God!
It seems so severed from the rest of the games. You know, you have that game on Thursday, then you have to wait until Sunday for more. It doesn't
but yeah,
seem
Sundays.
Connected.
But it allows you to watch. I agree with that because sometimes in my head I don't know whether Thursday is last week
right.
or this week. Like
right. yeah.
But it allows you to watch more games because if they're all on Sunday, you're not watching them all.
From a strict fan point of view, I understand what Andy's saying.
Sure.
I do enjoy having that game, but I try to look at it from their perspective, and I can't even imagine what it must be like to play a game on a Sunday and then have to play a game on a Thursday.
I know.
Right.
I don't even know how you do that.
You have to give short shrift either to your preparation or to your review of
week,
the other game.
You know?
Right.
Something
it, you
has
know.
To suffer.
And physically, you're right. at a, you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can do right. your cold tub and your the chamber things.
Right.
And
yeah.
Hyperbaric chamber, but your body is still getting
pounded. But they even have those things with, you know, the road, there's a ridiculous record. The road team is like almost never wins in that game because, you know,
they're
getting back
a,
to Eric's point about the preparation.
One more day disadvantage.
Yeah.
They
have
to travel.
It's so contradictory in this age of safety first, you know, you're not giving the guys time to recover.
Yeah.
You know,
but
plus,
it adds a Thursday night TV package that is ching.
Right.
But I like,
I happen to see Joseph
Fourier's
touchdown,
by
the way. The
is
other
good, though. Like on Sunday when you don't have the full complement of games, even like during the bye weeks when there are those,
yeah.
you know, four teams aren't playing, it feels sort of like a letdown. You're like, you go to look for the, you know, 4 o'clock game or
right.
the doubleheader game.
There
you're
were
like,
two 4 o'clock games.
Right. There's only two games in the whole league. It
right.
just kind of feels like it's like you're missing something.
Yeah, but that was poor scheduling that they only had two 4
well,
o'clock games.
Well, they had
games.
The two Monday night games and the Thursday night
games. Well, they could have spread out some of those 1 o'clock
but they
games.
But they always have a Thursday night game.
Right.
They had one extra Monday night game. To Eric's point, they could have had another
right.
like Chicago Cincinnati. To me,
could
that would have
been
a great
game
to put on at 4 o'clock.
Right, because they're kicking off
at
noon.
That was a good game.
Chicago.
That's a good game.
Oh, I'll tell you
that
why
you could have had. Now,
CBS
I know,
couldn't have any 4 o'clock games
exactly.
because of the U.S. Open.
Right. Because, but what I'm saying is, you can find games like that. That particular one doesn't work because it had to be a CBS game.
Right.
You're right. They
right.
had the open on, but they only
move
had
that to CBS Sports. Or
they only
that
had two games.
Is.
Yeah,
they only had two games at 4 o'clock. You should have at least three or four games at the different
times. Yeah, it gives
times.
You a chance to make up what you lost at the 1
exactly.
o'clock.
Then you got to wait for the 8 o'clock
it's
game.
It's all about gambling.
And then Andy, that's called chasing. You start chasing.
I don't know.
And you got an extra Monday night game even. You had a lot of time to chase.
So Paul's not worried. Andy?
I'm worried.
You're worried.
But I've been worried about the offense all along.
There's two different levels of worry here. I'm worried big picture. I'm not worried necessarily because they're missing a couple of guys now. Now, if Amendola... I'm worried about Amendola.
Well, I think they're going to win. I'm not really worried about this game because I think the Jets suck.
That's what I think.
I think the Patriots' depleted offense is still better than the Jets, whatever the opposite of
they're depleted
offense.
The Jets have a depleted offense.
Yeah, see, I think
that
that's giving them credit.
Overloaded offense.
They just suck. Don't even have talent to begin with.
Fred, can you name their starting running back?
Bilal.
Oh,
Bilal Powell.
Yeah. Where the hell did he pull that out?
I know, right.
Not only that, but he's just going my first name.
Yeah, right. He knows him.
LT, Bilal.
I think he thinks it was Bilal. His last name was Bilal.
This game's going to be a blowout.
Bilal Powell?
This game's going to be a blowout.
I agree. 13-0.
You think it's going to be a blowout?
Yeah, you know
Jets
why?
Win?
You know why?
Yeah.
No.
Good one.
No.
I actually thought you were setting that up.
I'm not. No, I think it's going to be a blowout because everyone thinks, oh, the Patriots offense is struggling. They're all injured. The Jets are coming in off a win. No, it's going to be a blowout.
Well,
it's going to be
I actually think both of those lines of thinking could be true. I think that the Patriots offense could very well struggle and they could win in a blowout.
See, you know, the last time, usually when this
you could
happens,
win 22-3.
Usually when there's blowout. Depletion.
28-2.
Usually when there's
22,
depletion,
I like that
we're talking
two.
About like, oh, the secondary is depleted and we have to have Julian Edelman play back there or Troy Brown. And
oh, St. Louis.
Somehow they
rise
that up. But it's rare that, you know, I don't think it's ever been the you know, this depleted on the offense.
No.
When it comes to
because usually the offense was so good it had a lot of weapons.
Yeah. Right. And it's not
this
like,
year it started with not many weapons and now the weapons are gone.
And it's not like they don't have personnel. It's just that these guys are all green. They're all, you know.
That's why I'm a little bit worried big picture, not necessarily in the short term. Mm. I'm not as worried about this game as maybe you are.
The three most important guys on offense who had injury, or four, had injury concerns coming into the season, if you include Gronk, still have major injury concerns.
Yeah.
Amendola, Vereen, Gronk, and... Mm. Your personally dubbed next great tight end, Zach Sudfeld, continuing his stretch of being heard in sixth the last 7 years.
When are you going to stop making fun of Fred about his Zach Sudfeld thing? Which, by the way, is that your boy Fitzy had that thing about that I was telling you about?
Yeah.
He said, what's that near Framingham?
Sudfeld. That's good.
He made me laugh a couple times. I don't usually care for his humor.
All right, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. John is calling all the way from Belgium. Hey, John.
Hey, hello.
How you doing?
What number did you call?
Fine, and you?
Great.
Good. I was. I usually catch you guys on the podcast, but today I was listening, and I heard Andy's call for more European callers, so here I am.
What number did you call? Do we have a...
Well, I had to call the regular line.
Oh, make it quick, then.
Are you from the international for Belgium.
Are you from the French-speaking part of Belgium or
the
Flemish?
No, no, no.
The Flemish?
No, don't offend me.
Oh.
Wow.
What's a phlegm?
Flemish.
Okay. What do you got there, John?
What do you got, John?
In Flanders.
Well, I was wondering, I was also listening to Mike and Mike, and they were talking about that there were quite a few people, quite a few running backs, especially having ball security issues, and they were saying maybe it's from the new CBA rules, so I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
We talked about that yesterday, John. We don't see the correlation. We don't see how... Even if it's less practices or less padded practices, it means that you can't hold on to the ball.
And they did more ball security drills this year than we've ever seen, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that segment in the middle of practice with a different drill every day.
They even added a player. They had three guys, three defenders trying to strip the ball.
And now, if you want to talk about maybe the new Nike jerseys are more slippery or something like that, okay.
Yeah,
maybe.
But Shane, I mean, Ridley has fumbled in Reebok. He's fumbled in Nike. Mm. He's fumbled without practice. He's fumbled with practice.
But a guy who's prone to fumble would fumble even more with a slippery jersey.
But it's not really the jersey. It's
but I don't think he's. I don't think he's holding it tight when
he's
losing
down here
it.
When he lost.
He's also
it.
Like
maybe he
the...
has a short. You know, Paul and I have joked about this with Wes Welker. He always carried the ball sideways. Maybe Ridley has a short forearm bone, and maybe they need to start measuring that at combine for running backs, and not having the size of the hand and the forearm bone to get all the proper points of contact leads to fumble.
Now, if your bicep is too big, would that get in the way?
I used to fumble all the time. It's crazy. Oh. And I did, the strippers did a little research for me.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson had 10 lost fumbles over a two-year span a few years ago,
right.
And now it's down to one per season, basically. So he had a major problem, and he has fixed that problem to some degree.
Well, then he
so
needs
add
to talk
him to the list
Stephen Ridley.
Right. Yes,
and he did that.
And I haven't noticed him doing it in the dramatic Tiki Barber high and tight way.
Right.
I mean, Tiki Barber
had
a
that was crazy.
Very unique Right. The way he ran with it was sort of the new age, and there's other guys that do it now. I haven't seen that from Peterson doing anything specific. I think he just learned to keep it tighter to his body. He was a guy that liked to flail it around when he was doing all his crazy, you know, bowing his head and hitting people.
Right.
But it's fixable. Enough guys have proven you can fix it, and I'm not sure you need to fix it in 72 straight hours of, like, getting beat up in practice.
John, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, they also had Victor Cruz on the show, and they said that the, also the Giants running back, he was carrying the ball around all day just trying to fix his issues. So I hope that...
That's been around since the program.
And he had bad fumbling issues at Virginia Tech, and he had had bad fumbling issues in his 2 years with the Giants now. David Wilson.
Right.
It's another guy like Ridley who had a problem in college, and he hasn't been able to fix it.
And that other guy they just got rid of. He's on the Eagles now, I think. Brown.
All right, John. Thanks a lot
Andre
for
Brown
the call.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay. John from Belgium.
No, they had a backup running back last year who was good but had major fumbling problems.
Oh, I think Bryce Brown?
Maybe.
For the Eagles.
Yeah, wasn't he on the...
Pac-Man's guy? No, he wasn't on
the
Giants.
Giants last year?
No. Oh, Bryce Brown.
Bryce Brown.
You remember that one, Pac-Man?
Okay, good call from Belgium.
And he does have a fumbling problem as well.
Some guys just have a fumbling problem and don't fix it. I mean, we've talked about guys have fixed it. Some guys don't, and your career ends. You stop getting opportunities. But, you know, I thought it was interesting. Brady was very adamant. I love handing it off to him. I love watching him run. I love having him back there. Was very supportive of Ridley. And the situation might be a little supportive of Ridley, that he gets a chance to get a few carries early and
you know,
get going.
And it, like you said, for some guys, it just becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy thing where it's in his head, it's in the heads of the opposing guys, so they – you know,
they smell blood.
They are extra relentless going after the ball, thinking that, you know, they've got a shot at it.
But I don't feel like he's had many of those where you say, you know, they're just focusing at it and, the you know, one guy raps and another guy's tearing. I don't feel like he's really had a lot of those.
No.
But you're right. They do, when they smell that issue, coaches teach them to go after it.
And clearly,
I think the Patriots went after Spiller this week.
Yes.
They appeared to be swatting, ripping, punching. I don't know if that was just a tactic or something they saw in film and said, we can force fumbles with this guy.
And I talked a little to Arrington in our interview yesterday for the PFW TV show, which is going to air tonight, by the way.
That's right, tonight,
7:30 Eastern time.
Watch
on
it.
Comcast.
Whoever it was with the Nielsen box that watched last week, please do it again.
At least flick it on before you go
guys,
to bed.
You guys picked us up nice. Let's keep that going all season. But we talked a lot about ball security and some of that stuff that Andy just mentioned, you know, about sort of smelling it. And I asked him specifically, it seemed like you guys, all of you guys were really targeting Spiller. You know, looked like guys were trying to secure the tackle and immediately go for that ball a little bit more. And he didn't really get into it because obviously you don't want to say like, well, yeah, we knew that he was a fumbler. But he kind of had a little smirk on his face that told me that Andy might be right on that one.
But speaking of that, what did you think about LaDainian Tomlinson saying that Rex Ryan once said that he was going to punch Belichick in the face?
I didn't hear that. I hadn't heard that.
He, in a motivational talk before a game once, he said, you know, I'm going to set the tone at, you know, when we go out in the before the game, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Oh, pregame speech? Oh,
yeah.
I mean, obviously he was kidding. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that. But no,
I mean, you don't think that happens relatively often, things of that nature?
No. Because
I do. I think it's like a couple years ago when you were trying to, you know, we're going to rape, we're going to pillage, we're going to take your women and have our way with
me.
Them.
Yeah. That's me.
No, there's a lot of coaches that are like you.
Yeah. And you actually did punch Josh McDaniels when he came over to the bus.
I did.
Like Jim Harbaugh, I could see going and trying to punch another coach.
Anything, you know, we're going to, I mean, vulgar stuff even. I'm going to go have my way with his wife or whatever. Like, I think that stuff
just
happens.
Just to rile people up.
Yes, more than,
I don't really mean they're going to do that.
Right. People take this stuff way too seriously.
Funny. Like Joe Girardi and Buck Showalter
the other day.
They were going to punch each other.
I thought it was a little unconventional, though.
See, I don't.
No.
My guess is it gets
even
said.
Even in jest, one head coach telling his team he's going to punch another.
Yes, I think
coach.
That happens more often than not.
Well, see, I think it would be an issue if there was actually some sort of Jim Harbaugh, Jim Schwartz thing.
In a rivalry game.
Oh, yeah,
not just any
thing.
Old game.
No.
Right. Now, but if you found out that Harbaugh or Schwartz said that in the pregame that day and then that happened, that to me is an issue.
Right.
You're just
totally
saying
different.
In a pregame and then.
You know, these are the big bad Patriots
happened.
And to show something before you guys punch him in the mouth, I'll go out there and get it going by punching Belichick in the mouth.
Right. That's just.
Right there.
That's just football nonsense.
That's how it happens.
That's just football nonsense.
Yeah, that's just tomfoolery.
Alex in Philly writes in at webradio@patriots.com. I was almost ready to go over the ledge until I heard Fred read that email in a French accent and it brought me right back.
you need to do that again.
You didn't even get to see the hands moving with it.
Yeah, I know the mantra. As long as we have Brady and Belichick, we're a lot better than most teams. But it is really starting to look like we all really do have is Brady and Belichick. I know nobody likes the term injury prone or prone to injury. So how about the term anti-healthy? We seem to have a lot of anti-healthy guys, especially guys who have a history of anti-health. This is very concerning to me because we are very thin at a lot of positions, and I do not have a good feeling about the Jets game, but the naive tunnel vision homer in me still thinks we'll be fine.
You're right. For this week.
Yeah, for this week.
Talk to me in a couple of weeks.
They'll blow out
the Jets are coming.
I like the fun the emailer had. That's one of those things. Like I need the people to tell me what am I allowed to say about Amendola in terms of injuries? I mean,
called him gritty.
What is the term that we're allowed to use?
What do you mean?
I mean, we can't say he's injury prone because they get mad at that.
Right.
Who's they?
The Patriots fans. The Amendola apologist.
He's oft injured.
But is that okay?
Adrian Clem got mad at me when I called him that once.
Is that, I don't know if that's okay either. I mean, just whatever people
right about
tell
that,
me it's
though,
okay.
I know. The truth is never mean, Adrian.
I know that they're all fluke injuries.
Right.
As opposed to the injuries that aren't flukes.
Right.
His a fluky. I mean, I don't know exactly. Like Mike Salk, yes. Did you hear any of Mike Salk yesterday?
No, but I just love that you're fighting this perception.
I don't know.
Take it upon yourself. I have to fight it.
I don't know what I'm supposed to term Danny Amendola.
A gritty, injury-prone receiver.
On Sunday in Buffalo.
He's not fragile.
On Sunday in Buffalo, I think he was a gritty.
He was gritty.
Part of that
injured
that
player.
Game.
Yeah, he played hurt.
But
played tough.
You can't get beyond the fact that he got hurt again. You can't miss that.
Again.
If it smells like a duck and walks like a duck.
How about unlucky, Paul?
Probably a duck.
I don't think he's unlucky.
You don't?
I don't either.
Why not?
I think he is prone to injury.
It's kind of the way I look at
your
it.
Your guy did it to
an injury-prone player.
God.
I mean, maybe you could call it unlucky.
Like,
I guess you could call it unlucky.
Some player.
God, well, I think a guy that's always injured is unlucky.
Yeah,
I think he's genetically predisposed to injury.
He's always injured.
I changed. I think,
so
I think Eric, you could use Eric's term. He's unlucky. You could say that. I mean, guys, some guys, you know, some guys break.
Right.
He seems to break.
If he breaks, he breaks.
Pat and Agawam says, just had a few questions. Wasn't sure if there was going to be a show tomorrow because of the game. Well, you're correct.
PPGS, though. We'll see at 6.
There is a PPGS. Right. Anyway, my first question is, do you think there's any way Amendola plays tomorrow night and this is just a small smokescreen with these reports leaking out?
No.
Seems doubtful.
I don't think there's any way he plays.
I didn't think, even when I was seeing the second half, that he'd be back.
I didn't either.
Sometimes those things, you can't, especially with the short week, I just...
Now, there was wide reports yesterday that he wasn't seen during the media window, but when the injury report came out, he was listed as limited in practice, which
correct.
Means he had to have made an appearance at some point.
At a walkthrough.
He could have just showed up, like you said, and just stood there.
I don't think that's true.
No?
Because on a...
Yeah,
on,
you have to take part in something.
But in a walkthrough, he can take part. We know he can walk.
Right.
He played a second half that was gritty and tremendous, according to
Paul.
And he
walked yesterday through the locker room.
Gritty. I called him gritty.
Yeah.
Was that, like, out of the ordinary? Should I not have written that?
No. I don't know.
Susie Colbert thinks it's, stereotypical.
I mean, I think that, Shane Vereen was gritty, too, but we didn't have a cover of, it wasn't like... Shane Men. Maybe we could have put Shane Men up there.
Well, you also don't know he was being gritty at the time.
I thought Amen was better.
Shaman.
My second.
Right. And we also didn't know at the time that he had broken a bone in his wrist.
Yeah.
We didn't know that.
What bone did he break? Do we know?
I'll bet you it's that bone that all the other Patriots broke.
Yeah, that little one.
Bruschi, scaphoid.
Scaphoid. That's what I was wondering if that was.
I bet you it's that. Because didn't those guys miss like six weeks with that?
I don't know.
My second question is,
Mike
how
Kelly
worried would you be if
season.
The Patriots got zero High sacks school. Tomorrow, seeing how Tampa put 5 on this team?
Yes,
I
we
like
better.
Seeing pressure force bad passes, but I also like to see our guys finish the play. I'd be
no,
at least a little worried. So
now, is this, Fred, if they have zero sacks against a guy who has sacked 5 times last week, is it still just a controlled rush?
Well, you got to figure that the fact that he was sacked 5 times last week, the Jets are going to make adjustments. We know they're going to make adjustments, so why play into that, and we'll go the other way.
And just stay at the line of scrimmage and Bobby Hamilton and
dance. Not only the 5 sacks, but they forced turnovers, not just on sacks. They forced an interception with your boy, Trevor Scott, forced an interception with a heavy pressure. I think you need to get after this guy.
You
can't let these young rookie quarterbacks get comfortable.
You think maybe Hightower and Jones are taking the year two jump like very structured. And because they missed a couple games last year, it doesn't actually start till like week two. You're not year two until after you play 16.
You don't have to make fun.
They did nothing.
Last question is, do you
And actually, Chandler Jones told me when I called him a veteran, I'm not a veteran until week three because I missed a couple games last year.
Last question is, do you think there's anything left in Andre Carter's tank? And do you see the Patriots signing him maybe not this week, but at some point in the season, maybe week 8 or 9?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I think that's why they worked him out.
It's possible.
I don't know how they'll do it. Maybe a couple defensive special team scores, but I'm picking the Patriots to win 31-21. That's all I've got for this week. Hope to see Gronk against Tampa. And as soon as I get a new device, I'll be signing up for Patriots Football Daily.
52 points would be a lot in this game.
I'd be very concerned if that game unfolded. The Patriots get a special team score or two.
Oh, yeah. And so they really only score 17?
And still allow 21? If they allow 21, I'm going to be concerned unless the Patriots turn it over.
You won't be concerned. It always works
if the
out
Jets
for Brady
put 21 points on the board against this defense, I'm going to be a little concerned about that. This is not a good offense.
No, it isn't.
This is a worse offense than the one you played last week.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no playmakers. At least last week's had actual playmakers.
Stevie Johnson, you know.
C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson. Fred Jackson would be, you know, O.J. Simpson for the Jets.
Correct.
Let's see. Tom writes in. He wants me to say, hey, guys, how are you? In a Jeff from Vegas voice.
Hi. How are you?
Does he still call the PBGS?
Oh, yeah. He took a couple weeks off because I think he may have been in jail. But
What's the update on Mark Harrison? I think he could really help the team.
Saw him yesterday at the walkthrough, actually. But
he's, so on
he's
NFI.
Still on NFI.
So we saw Mark Harrison, yet didn't see Danny Amendola at the walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So 5 more weeks for him until he's
even have to decide
an option.
Hmm.
And Melvin from Tennessee writes in, all that was talked about this summer was how Fells and Hooman were making plays. The only passing play I remember from Hooman was last year versus the Niners. He needs to get open and catch passes. That will help aid some of the pressure off the rookies. If the non-rookies like Hooman stop running so stiff and breathy, like Fred described it. By the way, Fred, you said Harrington blatantly. My favorite was this summer when you said webbrady@patriots.com. Thanks, Andy, for clarification for Fred every 30 minutes or so. Web Brady, did I say that?
Yeah, the Who Man was asked to block a lot, I thought, the other day. Didn't you guys? He played a lot of snaps.
He did. Yeah.
But I thought he was asked to block a lot. In other words, do you
sure
think
that's
that,
what's keeping him down?
No, I'm not saying anything about keeping him down. I'm saying, are you ripping him for not being a bigger part of the passing game the other day?
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. I think he was asked to block. I think he did what he was asked to do.
How come they don't want Fells?
I don't know. Did he sign with Seattle?
I don't know. He was there.
And someone told me he had a concussion issue.
Oh, really?
Which I wasn't aware of.
I wasn't aware of it.
But he did work out, I think, with Seattle.
He did.
At
I know
some point
it, yeah.
this week.
No, I know that. I just don't know if he signed. I just don't know how he couldn't help this offense.
Evidently, they like Matt Mulligan better, as Freddie calls him.
Got a freaking pass protector.
Apparently, he got astronomically better in the last 2 days.
Right. After having gotten astronomically worse in 2 days, man, earlier this month.
You know, I know, you don't like to go on to the Bruce media too much, but there's one of the writers, Chris Warner, had a very good column today. He titled it The Patriots Shadow Roster, and basically looked at, you know, the bottom half, you know, of the roster and, you know, people on the practice squad, people who are moving in and out that are somewhat familiar, spent some time with the Patriots, and what their roles could be throughout the season. I thought it was very good. It's a good read. I would suggest it. But it is interesting how, you know, teams, and I'm sure it's not just the Patriots, have these guys that come into camp for a little bit and seem to always be available when you need them. And, you know,
yeah,
so
like
so
San Francisco just re-signed Kasim Osgood.
Right, so is
that's
my
the kind
point
of guy
is,
every team
do
has.
Teams truly have only a 53-man roster, or all, do these teams really have these shadow rosters that
well, they
sort
have,
of...
they have an emergency list.
Yeah.
But those guys are free to sign with anybody.
No, I know.
And I don't think those guys are turning down jobs.
No.
And they're also not very good.
Yeah. No, but, I mean... You don't think if somebody said, Kasim Osgood, come sign with us, you can play this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They might call me back. I'm going to stay here.
I like it here.
So a guy like Matt Mulligan, even if you know that he's going to, you know, even if you know that he can sign with another team, do you keep him abreast with your team, like what's going on?
You have conversations with the agent,
well,
I'm sure.
Yeah. I think when you release
when he's
him,
out?
Too, they probably told him that.
Not, hey, we might sign. I mean, like, this is what we're doing with the offense.
Oh, no, not when he's out. Especially at teams like the Patriots that are strictly game
playing. What if he signs with the Jets?
Well, yeah, he's going to.
Again.
He knows stuff
anyway.
Didn't
he play for them before?
The issue is he's a borderline NFL player. All these guys are now borderline NFL players.
That's my larger point. Those guys that are, you know, 45, 46 on down, practice squad, and then the emergency list, you can interchange them from any team. They're all those players are all basically the same.
But they're easiest interchanged with the team they were with.
Exactly.
And so that's it benefits both sides.
And that's why you gravitate toward the guy. Like Leon Washington, you plug right back in after he was here all summer in that role that he's probably going to fill replacing Vereen this week. He's Vereen insurance.
Ed writes,
I just don't think, I don't think he was very fast. I thought in the spring I was extremely impressed. I used this line in the pregame. In the summer I was very unimpressed. I thought in the spring he looked quick and had a burst.
He
in
had
the
a
summer,
spring in his step?
I didn't see it in the summer.
And then he.
So I'm wondering if maybe he's just, you know.
A corpse.
In his 30s now and returned a lot of kicks and taken a lot of hits and.
I'm rooting for him to be active and running 108 yards down the sideline, and I'm going to be saying, yeah, Paul, he looks like a corpse.
Listen, I could get Kevin Faulked.
What does that mean?
What happened to
you? What happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Diminishing skills.
Something tells me we won't be talking
about. I thought
he
was trying to swear without swearing.
Something tells me we won't be talking about this in 6 years the way we were after you said that Kevin Faulk was done.
Right.
No, see, I didn't say done. I said
diminishing skills.
Right. It took a long time to do.
Corpse and just sounds so harsh.
And in 6 years.
And final.
You were correct. Right.
Dead.
Yeah, I didn't like what I saw from Leon Washington in the summer. In the spring, I was excited. In the summer, not so much.
Maybe the pads are too heavy for him at this point in his career. In the spring, when it was just shirts and shorts, he was fine. Those corpses,
that's Andy.
They can barely. I'm Andy.
Ed writes in, do you feel Brady will hang it up and retire at the end of the season, given his noticeable frustration with the lack of offensive weapons?
No.
It seems Bill and the Patriots are going backwards instead of providing Brady with more offensive weapons. Now he is even less than last year. I really believe as Brady struggles this year due to the lack of offensive options that he will elect to retire and live the wealthy celebrity lifestyle.
I don't think there's any chance.
No, he'll play out the contract.
Didn't he say last week after football? There's nothing after football.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, he is on the record. If I can play till 50, he's up to, you know, to 50.
No,
oh,
he
has?
No, he keeps doing it. I agree with Eric.
A legitimate question, though. Because I believe Bill said, I think it was last week when he was talking about, I love every aspect of it. Young players, established players, guys with a boatload of talent, you know, getting young guys, the whole thing. He loves everything about the team building process and coaching. You think Brady feels that way? Or do you think Brady would like if he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker flying around?
So, in other words, he doesn't really like this element of having to break
in. I think
these
he would prefer to have the 2007 crew.
Me
yes.
too.
I think he likes.
I don't think he likes every aspect of it. He likes football. He likes working.
He likes
scoring. He likes competing. I don't think he likes developing.
Yeah.
You know, Doc Rivers would rather not. Have the Celtics roster. He wanted to go to L.A. I think Brady looks at it that way, and that doesn't mean Doc Rivers can't coach or Brady can't play or there's some flaw. It's just what they would prefer. I think most people would prefer the easier,
on that.
Better.
Freddie, let me ask you this: there's been a lot of. You know, obviously, they're missing Amendola and, to a lesser extent, Vereen, who is really an extension of the passing game, too. So there's been a lot of criticism now coming out of the woodwork. I don't know where these people were all offseason, but, you know, about
he throws these little jabs.
No, about the weapons, about the lack of weapons. Now, we've been talking about it all offseason, and suddenly now it's a big thing for everybody else.
Well, we're always ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about necessarily the guys that are here every day, the Patriots writers, but... Where do you fall? You had mentioned something off the air yesterday about Emmanuel Sanders. The Patriots, they had a guy they targeted. They should have gotten him.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, I think there was a show. I think maybe the first there was a show where you guys were late, and I went on a monologue. And I said, besides Gronkowski and all this other stuff that happened in the offseason, the worst thing that happened to the Patriots in the offseason was not getting Emmanuel Sanders. They wanted him, but I think they made it an offer that Pittsburgh could match, and Pittsburgh did. And I think, you know, we wouldn't be in as bad a shape right now, you know, assuming he wouldn't get hurt, if he was on the team.
So do you think it's I think Callahan wrote today in the Herald, you know, Belichick needs to get, you know, Brady some help, you know, needed to get some receivers, dropped the ball. And some of the apologists on the other side have said, well, they didn't know. You know, they were planning on having Gronk and Hernandez be part of the equation.
But those are tight ends.
But I would argue.
Yeah, but they were also the focal point of the passing game.
No, but I'm sorry. You still need wide receivers.
No,
you had
but their wide receivers would be fine if they had Gronk and Hernandez.
You know what? No.
Just like last year, they were fine without.
We left that season last year saying we weren't satisfied with the wide receiving core. Brandon Lloyd was not the guy we thought
he
was going to be.
But that's two different things.
You weren't satisfied with the wide receiving core, but you had the number one offense in football.
I know, but we still felt that they need to bring...
with the receiving core, and I'm not going to have the number one offense
in football. Look, we still felt that they need to, you know, redo whatever you want to call the receiving core. And yes, through a combination of drafting and bringing someone in, they brought in Amendola. That was good. They felt they had to because they couldn't get anything done with Welker. And they should have brought in Sanders.
But what do you think?
But either way, they were looking to upgrade their fourth option. Right. That's what they were looking to do. Upgrade the fourth option.
And
unfortunately, now it's upgraded to the second and third option.
You're right in terms of options. But and when you just talk about wide receiver depth, 1, 2, 3, 4, they only had one.
But you can't have it both ways. You can't give the Patriots credit for revolutionizing offense with a two tight end set that they signed these guys early and they focused and that's going to be the coolest thing and everybody wants to replicate it, and then sort of criticize them for not developing
the receiver position. The one that drafted the two wide receivers and went after Amendola and Emmanuel Sanders. They did. They felt the need too.
To upgrade the fourth slot.
Well,
they let Brandon Lloyd go and they were upgrading the receiver position.
Yeah, they were trying to upgrade Brandon Lloyd's spot.
Because if you want to use your lot, I'm not the one who gave their tight ends $100 million combined.
Well,
they
sure.
clearly invested in them as the focal point of the passing game moving forward.
Because the number one sign of is that they put the money, you put your money where the mouth is.
Sure.
They invested in those two tight ends.
Oh, absolutely.
But my point
this
is
nothing. And by the way, this has nothing to do with being cheap.
No. That's not what I'm saying. No. I'm talking about just building a roster and putting yourself in position to win.
I think strategically they made a mistake with the offer they gave to Sanders.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I actually agree with you on that one. But
that could actually be cheap.
Well, no, I think you could say that. You know,
well, I think they try to get cute too, because they can't just ever do anything conventionally. They have to, like you said, you know, they had to have the groundbreaking two tight end attack with these two.
But
you know, they can't just do things the way anybody
else.
Didn't you
get the sense that they thought they'd get him?
Yeah.
I think they had that in the books, and I think they got, you know, surprised. Yeah, they got surprised that they didn't get that guy, and now they were back to square one a little bit.
Now. I think it was a little bit.
They weren't back to square one, though, because, again, he was still being brought in to be the fourth option, right?
But a very important option, because they had a lot of guys in the middle of the field.
What could they have done in June when you find out about Hernandez? You think anything could have been done? Not about Hernandez, about replacing
him. No, I know. Going after somebody?
Yeah.
Minimal.
Yeah, not much.
I don't know.
Most teams already have their
I'll be honest. I don't know the list of guys. I also think guys are always available.
And I know Fred insisted that he was fine, but I think it was pretty clear that Gronk was going to miss the start of the season.
Well, that's my other question.
Say in May.
Well, what was their belief on Gronk along the way? At what point did they realize retro? He's going to have back surgery too close to the season, and he's going to be missing time to start the season. When did they come to that realization?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and. You know,
they might not know.
That's why I was really surprised that they cut both Fells and Ballard, because you figured they've got all these tight ends because they know he's not going to be
ready.
And that's part of my
criticism that I would say is valid as well. You knew you were going to be shorthanded in tight ends. I don't want to hear now how you don't have any tight ends.
Right.
Because you had a couple that were here all summer and you decided to get rid of them. Now, I'm not saying that you would be dramatically improved if you had Ballard right now or Fells or both. But I got to tell you, I think they're better players than Matt Mulligan.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I think Fells is. I think Fells is.
You think Fells is the best.
Ballard, I think, was done.
But Fells, I think, can still play.
Yeah. You know, I just look at it. I think they sort of put themselves unnecessarily in a position where they lack depth there.
Well, I'm going back to saying that I think not getting Sanders was a swing and a miss. And I think.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
with
we
you.
Wouldn't be.
If you want a guy, you know, it's the same criticism that I used about Welker. If you really wanted, they keep saying they wanted Welker. Welker keeps saying he wanted to be back. And I call bullcrap on both. I don't think they wanted him back, and I don't think he wanted to be back. Otherwise, he would have, because the money was too close. But if you really wanted Sanders, you had opportunities to do it.
Yeah.
I agree with your criticism on that. I happen to agree with Freddie.
So,
it's a rare one.
The first time he's. been critical.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
But, and that wasn't recent, by the way. I said that before the season even started. I didn't wait to say that. No, I didn't wait to say that in hindsight.
Well,
you can go back in the tape. I know I said it.
When?
I forget exactly when, but I know I've said
back on the internets.
Yeah. I might have even said it being
in
interviewed
bed.
By somebody else.
Might have been there when he was
when
dreaming.
Did you do interviews? I forget.
Because you got so many of them.
You do interviews?
I don't know.
And then you claim you're a miss.
Wait, you don't know?
Just quoted. Now I don't know.
What was the last time
you didn't dream about it?
I'm pretty sure it was on this show that I said it.
But no one was here.
I'm pretty sure. Do we have a way to search Emmanuel Sanders?
I doubt it.
Audio wise.
Where's the
food? What was that program that.
Yeah, do we not have that thing anymore?
That program that used to like transcribe as.
It's usually Podzinger, but it's called Ramp now.
Oh, okay.
I'll bet you if we did that, if you go into Patriots.com, there's a thing called Ramp. Type in Emmanuel Sanders, and it might come up.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. You don't have to validate your opinion to me. I just want people to know that
I felt this way for a long time.
You didn't wait till the receivers pooped themselves
right,
to
no,
say.
No,
right.
And in Fred's defense, you go back to a year ago. He was concerned when it wasn't really a huge concern.
No question.
So you can imagine
that because they didn't have five Pro Bowlers.
You can imagine his concern now when it's, it's even exacerbated by the lack of weapons.
We've been talking for the last 2 years about
playmakers. One,
when you get a team that has a good defense, they will take away the middle. The Patriots don't have that outside option. For the last 2 years.
And but now you're in a situation with teams that don't have good defenses
taking
stuff away.
And then last year we thought Brandon Lloyd might be that guy. He was not that guy, so we still felt they needed that.
But we also were getting by with, we haven't seen a healthy Gronkowski, Hernandez, Welker, the trio.
Yep.
They were always something missing for a lot of that. So that was another aspect
of it. And that's a big part of this team right now, too, is Gronk. You know,
by the way, this is another thing that's come to me. And is Amendola soft? Is he not soft?
You're not allowed to say he's soft.
Because I don't think he's soft. He's injury prone.
I don't think he's soft either.
Certainly
he's
wasn't soft the other day.
You're not allowed to call
you know
him injury
soft,
prone either.
And we'll move on after this because it could get me in trouble. But Hernandez was soft. To me, that's soft. When you take a pop and then on the next play you're afraid to stick your hands out to catch it, that's soft. That, to me, is soft. It's not always about injuries.
You
it's
are
about
allowed to say that.
Playing soft. And to me, that's an example of soft. He took a big hit.
They throw
a screen pass to him on the next play, and he's afraid to catch it, and it leads to a pick. That's a soft receiver
right there.
Right,
Fred?
Who's afraid to play. He's afraid of contact.
You can say anything you want about him.
Yes, that is permissible.
But I want to be careful.
Because friends out there.
Because he might be called.
He lives in the same town now.
And he might also be ruled, innocent and be free.
I hadn't thought of that.
Where's that Andy
Get
Hart
rid
at?
Of that Podzinger or Ramp or whatever the hell it's called and erase this podcast.
Ramp it up.
So Podzinger is Ramp or?
Yeah, it turned into Ramp. It's, these companies change names.
Did Apple buy it?
They did something good. They made some money.
You just throw something out there.
They made some money.
Are you watching any of this Million Second Quiz?
I heard it sucked.
I don't really get it.
That was the common thing I saw on Twitter.
I mean, I like the trivia aspect of it. It's kind of fun to just do some trivia questions for a short period of time. I don't really get the whole winner's chair and the winners. I don't know why you have to be there. I don't get it.
It's kind of what I read on. I didn't see 1 second of it, but on Twitter, a lot of people were tweeting. I don't get it. What's going on? What happens? How does this work?
Pete in Augusta, Maine says, need to run the ball well, play great defense. Anything passing is icing on the cake. Get it done. Let's roll.
Okay, I kind of agree with some of that, but the running ball part, who?
Right.
That's a question,
too. The Riddler.
Okay, so we're just saying the Riddler's back. That was a half.
I think so. I think you got it.
Because I heard Felger and Maz talking about this, and if you're really disciplining him for fumbling, you can't bring him back just because you have injuries
elsewhere.
I'm
glad you said that. Because I heard that yesterday.
It made no sense.
And I said, it's not about disciplining
right. This
the
isn't
guy.
Like he
At
beat
that
up his
time,
wife.
He's going to hurt the team. So you
right.
take him out and put somebody else in. It's not about punishing
to
him.
To me, this isn't a one-game suspension for Johnny
right.
Manziel, but
exactly.
We're losing in the first quarter, so I'm going to bring him in.
Yeah.
This is football, not discipline.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay.
That was stupid, the way they were talking
yes.
about it. Okay.
And the other thing that they said that was stupid yesterday was...
It's okay for them to make
no,
fun
no.
of
the at the top
when
of...
When I'm fighting Mike Salk about Danny Amendola,
no, but
I'm
you
way,
fight
out, of, I'm
like
way
a,
out of bounds.
A crowd of perception.
But they were...
but I said Mike Salk keeps telling you can't call him this, you can't call him
that.
He
has a weird something with Amendola.
Yeah, it's an infatuation that borders on
bromance. Almost like they're old buddies or something. And
Dude
he has
should
to defend
hide his rabbit, because I'll tell you, if I were Amendola, I'd be a little concerned
about
that.
Yeah, it is
that.
A little.
That's abnormal.
Yeah, but I agree.
The other thing that was really kind of irking me about Felger and Maz, they're putting themselves on the perch, and they said it a couple times. They said, well, you know, during preseason, all the writers were telling us how good these guys were, and we were really skeptical. But then we saw them in preseason. We were like, okay, they're pretty good. Now we're back to saying they're not good anymore. You know, so our original belief was correct.
Yeah. A belief you made upon
after
not
one
seeing
game.
It.
Right,
yeah.
No, that's the most idiotic part of the whole thing. Forget about the one game. You had a belief without having seen it.
Right.
Then you changed your perception when you saw it.
Right. But you were right.
And now you think you were originally right. You hadn't seen it. So how are you basing the opinion you had before you saw them more than the opinion you had after you saw them?
Well,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
I'm kind of doing that a little bit.
I've been doing a lot of yelling today on Felger and Maz.
I'm kind of doing that with Tompkins, just because there was a part of me that was, he's undrafted, so you're not going to come in as an undrafted rookie and be, but he was so consistent, I thought, from the last week of July straight through August. Well, maybe he can. Maybe he is, right. You know, that mature and that ready and that. And then I thought he looked like an undrafted receiver in week one.
Yeah.
So
I thought he looked worse than I thought he would look in the first game. But I was not as high on these three guys as seemingly everybody
else.
We
all knew it was going to be. By the way, Brad from Australia is my hero. Freddie, I vaguely remember you saying something like this on the Fantasy Football Champs opening show of the season. That's exactly what happened.
There you go.
So there's
they
the interview.
Interviewed me.
So no one heard
okay.
it.
And that's when I said
there you go, though.
Yeah.
But that's a,
right.
Because I was trying to, this monologue thing, I was like, when were you doing
first,
a show by
it
yourself?
It was the first Fantasy, remember you guys made fun of me because
yes.
I came down, they interviewed me for a little
okay.
bit.
Yeah.
That's when I said it.
And a good take, too, Freddie.
Yeah.
Do you play
take.
The fantasy football, Fred?
I don't play the fantasy football.
You don't do the fantasy?
No.
Does anybody do the fantasy here? Kevin, you probably do. Right?
In the
I do.
Building, yeah.
No, I meant
Fred,
yeah,
among us,
yeah.
I'm also using that tool that you described, but it gives you
accurate.
The podcast, but not where within it.
Oh, okay.
So what exactly, like, what
now,
are the
now you don't
the
have to worry
exact,
about
no,
it.
No, we know where it is.
We
now.
Know
we
it
trust
now.
Him.
It
we
was,
believe
it.
It
was
okay.
the first
now
fantasy
you just have to get our food.
Champ show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Donga need food.
People want to go back and listen to that. I did say
but,
it.
But for those, like, also, it's an interesting tool. You can search, and it'll give you the like a keyword, like Emmanuel Sanders.
So, like, Leon Washington corpse, it'll jump right to Paul Perillo.
There you go.
Yep.
I have no problem with that. I don't know. You keep saying it like I should be, like, hanging
it's
my head
so
in
harsh.
Shame.
It is.
I mean, it's not literal.
We know he's not actually dead. He's
right.
not, this is not like
but,
one of those
but you
HBO
make it sound
shows.
Like it's like this really sad thing. Like,
it's a zombie.
Oh, you know.
Right.
No, I mean, I think he is done. That's all.
The corpse.
Charlotte from Stockholm, she likes it when I call her Charlotte.
Oh.
It has to be some advantage during the Thursday night game early in the season. I don't know what advantage she's talking about.
Better to play a Thursday night early than
later. Yeah.
I would agree.
And I love the Friday night game. Now I have to pull an all-nighter to be dead on Friday at work. I think we'll be fine. 28-10 Patriots.
That was my other thing. If you move them to Friday night, because people that are going to a Thursday night game.
Friday night Shark
you have to
Tank.
Take 2 days
you
off.
You might have.
Maybe, well, at least,
you kind
well,
of,
at least one, maybe two.
Right. You're committing to 2 days where. Mm. You're messed up. If you leave work early, take the day off, take the next day off, or don't take it off and you're a zombie.
Yeah.
At least on Friday, you have Saturday afterwards.
Shark Tank's on Friday night.
I think they could move it.
Yeah. What?
The Shark Tank.
I'd be
I don't think that you know,
I'd
is a live event.
I'd be the only NFL fan that would watch the Shark Tank over a game.
Nathan,
I like
the
tank.
Nathan
I do too, but I like football too.
Yeah, well, if it was a good game.
Not a division game.
Like, I would have watched Baltimore and Denver instead of the Shark Tank.
Plus, the Shark Tank's
most of the Thursday night games, I'd watch the Shark Tank over. They always seem to be division games.
I also know. Like how
they
we
think
make
the division games are good, you know?
We make
Tennessee, Jacksonville.
Right.
We make it seem like this is
tune
a new
in.
Thing. Didn't TNT have Thursday night games in like the late 80s? Or
well, they went way back to Monday Night Football,
yeah, but they
Thursday night
start
edition.
Yeah. Later in the season.
But they, and they
right.
didn't have
it was,
them.
Yeah,
right.
it was
they didn't
late
have
the
them,
year.
Right.
It was like
originally,
the last 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, originally they didn't have them all the time. And then ESPN, I want to say in 86, matter of fact, little known fact, first ever Thursday night game on ESPN was Pat's Giants.
Yes, you're correct.
I want to say it was 86, and that was the last half of the season. Then TNT came in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I think they did the first half of the season.
They
ESPN
did.
Did.
ESPN did
the
second
half.
That's right.
Yep.
TNT was another one of those. They just weren't as good.
Yeah.
The games on TNT, the production, I don't know if it was the people involved, but they just the product just wasn't as good.
Right.
Like Fox.
Oh, Fox does a fine job.
Terrible.
Cletus?
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Nathan from Southern Cal, you've mentioned how much you love over-under games, so I thought I'd send you a few for Thursday night.
Giddy up.
Ridley fumbles 3.5.
Under, because he's not going to have that many opportunities.
And Eric says under because he's not going to have three carries.
Brady interceptions, 2.5.
Under.
Under.
Jeez, these are easy. Gostkowski field goal misses, 2.5. I get a feeling.
Under.
I don't sarcastic. Think he really wanted to play a game. Yeah. He just wanted to send a tone.
Yeah.
I'll take the under.
I just laughing. Over under, Ridley fumbles 3.5.
And he goes out. He goes on and on like that. Is there any way the Patriots win this game after their play on Sunday? I don't see them winning another one. Sorry for the negativity, but I've been listening to the playbook lately.
Ah, who is this?
Shot at Eric. Nathan from Southern Cal.
Nathan.
Simmer down.
Bringing
Nathan.
It. Woo.
Yeah, you guys are really negative, Eric. You and John.
Especially John.
The two of you, you get together and it's like a little pity party and misery and all this stuff.
Is it a pity party?
Pity party. You know?
No.
No?
The homers just can't deal with it. That's all.
You're right. I can't deal with it. You're right.
No, I wasn't. I mean, I was talking about the guy in the pink shirt over
there. I
can't
deal with all the negativity. I'm the one that picked the best record on this.
No,
on
that's
this show. Fred and I are the only ones that have any confidence in this team.
I just said it was going to be a blowout tomorrow night.
No,
did I not?
I'm talking about overall.
Overall.
We're picking 12-4. You know.
Right, that's true.
Do you like the
Jordan? Right.
You like the Jordan Babineau there, Andy? Know your role.
NEAUX.
Yeah.
Why is there Shalisa?
Ryan is.
Yes, it's a guest rundown.
Ryan from Belfast is saying there's a rumor out there that Randy Moss was spotted at the airport.
Oh boy,
bring him in.
But other people think he could be here for Fox Sports One or something. You know, may not necessarily
bring him in.
Or it wasn't him. Or he still has connections here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a kid here or something?
Would you use?
Doesn't
him
he have
for
a home
week?
Here?
I think so. Would and a kid that goes to school in Rhode Island.
I think
right?
so.
If he was in shape, would
no,
you use
I would
him
not
for
sign
week?
Him. No,
not for
no.
a week.
No,
not for just this game.
No,
no. Well, he wouldn't want to play for just
he's
one game.
He's had good games against the Jets.
Would he come here knowing he would be here for one game?
No.
Him? He probably would.
No, he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. He's done.
His first game publicity for Fox.
His first game as a Patriot was unbelievable.
Right.
Against the Jets.
Would be good publicity for Fox if he played one game and then went right back to the
booth. But he knows the plays. He knows
Tom
Brady.
Still got it, dog.
He could probably run some in cuts and slants.
That's what this game's all about. Slants and in cuts.
The phone's going to start ringing with Eldridge any minute.
That's Eric's calling. He should just imitate Patriots players. That's spot on.
Patriots receivers who could help this team if they were still on it. Moss, Welker. What else you got? Deion Branch. You got a Deion Branch?
Stallworth still out there.
Not Deion.
No.
Nice guy, but he didn't have it anymore.
He ain't having no more.
Let's see. Nick writes in, he's in Seattle, and in terms of wide receivers and injuries, he says, wasn't Welker an exception to the rule? I feel all top wide receivers missed a few games. Just to name a few that seem to miss a game or two each year, Andre Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Holmes, Sidney Rice, Steve Smith, Percy Harvin, Dez Bryant, DeSean Jackson, Jordy Nelson.
Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, there's plenty that don't.
A game or two?
Game or two each
is
year.
Not the same as missing half seasons. Right. Not the same as playing in 12 out of 32 games. What was it? Amendola's stats? He had missed 12 or something out of the last 32 games. He missed half the season the last 2 years.
And Brad in Australia also writes in, enough about all these different terms for injury prone. How about the dude is just injury prone and prone to injury?
I agree.
Listen, man, call him injury prone because he is. Why are we so afraid to call him that? It is what it is. We're not afraid to call Gronk an idiot in the offseason, are we? We're not afraid to say Brady is a spoiled brat when he goes suki. I guess that must be an Australia term.
Gets suki,
are
sulky?
We? Maybe sulky. He is S-O-O-K-Y.
Oh.
So why can't we call the new wide receiver, who I love, by the way, injury prone? Why is it everyone is so sensitive all of a sudden? This is football, damn it. Not ballet, as much as Eric wishes it was. Just kidding, Eric. Anyway, love your work, fellas. I'm off to have a VB, Andy.
Oh, nice. Not a Foster's. Nobody drinks those down there.
That's not Australian for beer.
Ridiculous.
I like Foster's. Good beer.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
I used to go to a place.
I had one.
When I lived in Boston.
You like a big can, right?
Used to go across the street.
Red's always liked a big can.
Well,
that's why I like Pam.
When I lived on Comm Avenue in Austin, I'd call the bar across the street and say, I'm coming in 10 minutes, and they take the Foster's cans and put them on ice for me.
Wow.
Get them extra cold.
So. I do like beer on ice.
I wish I had a place.
Remember those ice
mugs? I was there
mugs?
So often they invited me to the employee parties.
Do you have a place?
No. A bar?
Not just a place.
I couldn't tell you the last time I...
Everyone's got a place.
There is a place in Peabody, an Italian restaurant, Petrillo's, ironically, very close, that it's kind of, you know...
They know
well,
you.
I go in and, you know, it's a
Paul!
It's a 20-minute
it's like
conversation
Norm from
every
Cheers.
Time.
Yeah, but don't you go in for, like, meatballs?
There's a place in North Attleboro when I go in and they say Fred's in the house when I walk in.
Really?
Yep.
The soup factory?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
The soup kitchen.
No soup for you.
And there you have it.
But do they have beer?
And there it is.
Oh, yeah.
And there it is.
That's right. Do they know what you like?
It's not a bar, though. It's a restaurant.
I couldn't tell you last time I was in a bar in my town.
No, I don't necessarily mean it for drinking purposes. Just a
just
place that you,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
they
a
know
place you
like,
go to
you're
eat.
You're gonna go
eat,
in
yeah.
and they know
right.
you're gonna, you know,
right.
like
yes.
like they know Fred's here and they know exactly what he wants and
right.
what he's doing.
It's good to have a place where everyone knows your name.
Yeah. I wish I had a place.
You should make a show about it.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Cheers, Fred.
Right.
That's good for you.
You can be Norm. You're shaped like him.
That's Andy.
Brent,
because he's fat.
Brent writes in, I just turned on the show, and am I in Bizarro World? Fred's saying, the Jets stink too, implying the Patriots stink. What happened here?
Yes, he did say that.
You did say that.
The Patriots do not stink.
But you are not feeling so good.
There's cause for concern in this game. There's no doubt.
In this game, or there's just in general cause
in this
for
game?
Concern?
No,
it's
no,
funny, because oh, I'm not really concerned about this
fine.
Game, but long-term, I'm worried.
See, I'm
Fred's,
the opposite.
Fred's the opposite.
I'm the opposite.
So when the Falcons roll in and...
This is the stuff that has me worried. Like, I'm watching, like, some of the catches that Amendola made, and I'm just seeing how tight the coverage was, and... I'm not
this
sure...
This is my favorite part, when he convulses.
Oh, that's unbelievable, how much pain he must
I've
have
I've really
been
never seen anything like that. Somebody... Touch themselves to convulsion.
Well, I have, but usually you have to pay for it.
Oh.
Spider.
What is wrong with you?
Sven from Feed.
You see that, that new movie with...
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear
Joseph
it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt there. Don John, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking, and his girlfriend comes in, he's yelling at him because he's watching porn. And she's like, well, you watch all those movies. These are movies. They have awards for them. They have awards for porn, too.
That looks like a good movie.
Yeah, it looks like my kind of silliness.
Sven from Sweden.
I don't think anything.
Sven from Sweden.
I don't think anything blows up. We got a foreign accent coming.
Why would the Patriots want to sign Andre Carter over Mark Anderson? He's 4 years younger, unless they want him to mentor Jones.
He's 10 times better.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Anderson rode Carter's coattails.
Carter's
while
a better,
he was here.
Much, much better player.
Was. I don't know if he still is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I also don't know the health status of either guy. There was some question for Mark Anderson of his health, because I know people made a big deal that when he was cut, he was just cut. He wasn't cut with an injury, but there was still concern about his health, and Carter last year was hurt. So,
how about the 100 Gs for Ndamukong Suh?
I agree with Ben Watson. He's a DB.
Well, I think it's good that Ben Watson spoke out and said, hey, look, enough is enough with this guy. You know, he's a repeat offender.
I like the heavy fine because he's a repeat offender. I'm not as up in arms about this particular play as a lot of other people are.
No?
If this was a play in a vacuum, it wouldn't have been as big a deal with me. It's a penalty.
But that's
it's
the
cheap,
point. It isn't.
But it's not in a vacuum. It's
yeah.
That's why I think he deserves every bit of the fine. Probably deserved a little bit of a suspension.
Well, that's...
Because of his past.
They say that's the only thing that are going to stop these guys is when they actually miss a game and hurt their team. You know? Mike writes in. He says, you guys are on fire this week. Everyone's bringing their A game, loving the shows. Question number one, does Bill need to spend more time with the offensive rookies? Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator, and he's worked wonders with veterans, but can we trust him to develop young guys? His failure in Denver makes me wonder whether or not he should be trusted to teach and develop our young guys.
Yeah, he really blew that Demaryius Thomas guy.
Yeah. Question number two, I guess your answer is, we should be able to trust him.
I trust Josh.
I think he would relate better with the young guys because he's a young guy himself.
I also have no evidence that Bill's not spending a lot of time with
the
young
offensive
players.
How do we know that he's not? Exactly.
Right.
We know he's involved in every aspect of that team, right?
Yeah.
You see him everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Sundays, and remember, Brian Daboll's back.
Yeah, we've seen him Sundays, and Andy and Eric and I always note these things on the blog during training camp when he seems to be spending a little bit more time with a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's all over the place.
Question number two, what is the deal with Blunt and his rather sad running? For such a big guy, he stopped to take it down
running
very easily. If Vereen wasn't out for the next 8 weeks, I would say cut Blunt and move on. What are your thoughts?
Ron Dane.
He did look plodding, as I said, on Sunday.
I think he's a power back, but
it
takes him a while to get going. He sort of has that, I'm going to dance and find my whole mentality, and I think it's hard to do it that way.
When you're not quick, yes.
Yeah. I think he's very much like Ron Dane.
who was, you know, productive for a little while.
Yeah, he was a terrible pro. I mean, like Blunt has been better as a pro. Than Dane ever was. But I'm not sure.
Garrett in Atlanta. Was I the only one screaming at my TV Sunday to stop running those damn pick routes? It was ridiculous. I know it's sad that our wide receivers can't get separation on their own, but it wasn't helping. Edelman and Amendola shouldn't need a gimmick like that, and Dobson and Tompkins have shown that they can't do it properly. Someone tell McDaniels to start calling real passing routes. Other than that, I know it was an ugly win, but I have faith the team will improve over the course of the season like most Patriots teams have.
You didn't seem to mind them when they were working for like a decade.
Right, these are the same routes, yeah. You know, maybe the guys setting the picks weren't doing a good job, but that's how Wes Welker gets open a lot.
They weren't where they were supposed to be, obviously, on Sunday, but Andy's right. That's the Patriots' offense. A lot of two-man concepts.
Yeah.
Rub routes.
All right, let's take a quick break. Food's here. We come back. More of your emails, and we got to do picks. Controversy is brewing. We'll get to that after this.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Hungry.
Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should you know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
I was going to say Heffern Refer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398. 1-855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. A little Eric on Eric crime here. Eric in New York, Eric with a C, says, longtime listener, I was listening to PFW at work yesterday. I stepped away for a few moments, and when I came back, I accidentally had stepped into the bizarro world that is the playbook. And what I heard from Eric was completely ridiculous. He was arguing with Eldridge about the deep ball that went through Edelman's hands in the end zone, claiming his feet wouldn't have landed in bounds even if he had caught it. That may be true, although I think he had a chance to get them down. But Eric's argument was that he had a much better view because he was at the game. Really? You have a better view from the press box than we do from the couch where we have 9 slow-motion replays? Is there some scientific replay technology in the press box us fans are not aware of? Honestly, without you three to keep him in line, it is unbearable to listen to.
First of all, these guys don't keep me in line. Second of all,
like a bitch, we keep her in line.
Second of all, we have the exact same replay capabilities that you do. We actually have more of them in the press box. And seeing something live is always better than seeing it on television. So, goodbye.
Wow. We put him in his place.
Unfollow. Blocked.
Eric in New York.
Interesting, just came across Twitter because the Patriots retweeted it. Pele was apparently here last night.
Yes.
And Tom Brady
and
welcomed
Eusebio,
him.
The guy who has the statue, the random statue out in the, remember?
I never heard of him.
You know that soccer statue?
I know it, yeah.
That guy was here,
Who's Eusebio?
He was Portugal's greatest soccer player.
He pales in comparison to Pele.
Pales?
Both of those guys would be eligible for Dead or Alive for me. I
didn't.
Well,
even
Pele know. To me is Babe Ruth.
Yeah,
I thought he was like a legendary guy. Right. That's probably been dead for 100 years.
Oh no, he's still going strong.
Well, he was here last
night. Signed a
with
signed
Brady
a ball for
and
Brady.
Giselle, yeah,
and they signed a helmet, or he Brady signed a helmet for Pele.
So how old is Pele? When did he play?
Oh, he played.
When did
like
he play?
Well, he started in like his first World Cup was in like the late '50s, and he played into the 1970s.
Well, he was playing in that American Pro League when I was playing NASL. Soccer back in the 70s, early 70s, late 60s.
That was just funny. When I was playing soccer back
I played an All-Star game in Randall's Island in New York. I was wearing knee pads, and one of the New York Cosmos players came up to me and said, "You don't wear knee pads in soccer."
Now you wear knee pads for a different
was
reason.
Was it Pele?
I don't know.
He was on the Cosmos.
Right. It might have been.
Why did you have knee pads on?
Beckenbauer?
Back then, you know, you wore the sweatbands and the knee pads. And you know.
It was indoor, you
no,
said,
apparently
right?
you
no,
didn't
was
wear
outdoor.
The knee pads.
Oh, it was outdoor.
Island. Randall's Island.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't wear knee pads outdoors. Indoors,
off your knees. You're blowing the game.
He always has to bring it there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Because?
I just think it's funny
it's
that
always
you always wore
mind.
Knee pads, and the guy told you not to wear knee pads, so not everybody was wearing knee pads.
Pele was here at some point during the offseason.
He was.
I saw him.
You're right.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know Pele?
If you saw him, you wouldn't know.
Bring him in for a trial?
He was in KSP, actually.
Unless he had a jersey that said Pele on the back, I wouldn't.
I saw him in KSP.
Oh, I would know what he looks like.
Where's he from, first of all? Brazil?
Brazil.
Yeah. He was, like, you said he was the Babe Ruth of soccer.
No, the Babe Ruth comparison is dead on. He's the Babe Ruth of soccer.
Is he a corpse?
Well, he's 100.
Yeah. Is he really like 100?
No,
wow,
he's pretty old.
He's probably like in his
70s.
70s, yeah.
But he probably crosses paths with Giselle occasionally as big-time Brazilians.
Sure.
What do they say, Fred?
I don't know.
Yeah, when Pele and Giselle cross paths.
Help my husband win the game. I don't know.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
I don't know.
It's Andy who has the Giselle voice that changes every other day.
Yeah, but Fred actually has accents that, you know, resemble.
I know, but it's funny when Andy's
changed. I don't think he has a Brazilian.
Whoa.
No. See, now.
It really, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's snorting over
there. Yeah, he's just, you know, entertaining himself.
There's the L.A. Kiss Tim Tebow thing on NFL Network right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they have that logo on the helmets. That's crazy.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket hotline. Brian's in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I have a bad reception or not, so let me know.
You sound fine.
Good. So, first of all, Andy, I could not disagree with you more. Cletus is the most obnoxious thing ever. The Fox production is terrible. Like, get rid of that.
Okay, we'll have to agree to disagree. I love Cletus when he shakes his arms, flexes his muscles. Highlight of my last few years covering this team was seeing Cletus in person here.
Said like a guy who still lives his glory days in high school. I mean, come on. That's from the 90s.
Well said, Brian. Well said.
We're in 2013 now.
Rest of the staff. Rest of the staff nods.
I like
good
tradition.
Job, Brian.
I don't need just change constantly. I like tradition. Fox is traditionally at Cletus.
And there's nothing wrong with the negativity of Eric and John. I mean, come on. Deal with it, guys. Grow up. I'm talking to the fans. I have nothing wrong with complaining about that win. But it was a win, and I'll take it.
Of course you will.
Now,
you're a homer.
I want to look at things objectively
and say there were some ugly things on the field and injuries and the offense have issues and all that.
He just said that.
Yeah.
He just
said it was a win, so it was fine. We'll move on.
No,
everything that's a win is fine.
He said there's a lot
That's
of
what
things.
He said. A
no,
win.
That's
it's fine.
Not what he said.
That's what
you don't listen.
Said.
There's nothing in that cavern.
What's the matter?
I love this.
You need Fred to argue for you?
Am I doing a good job of pissing Andy off already?
What's the matter, Brian? Your mother wasn't around? You needed Fred to argue for you?
Now, why did you have to do that?
No, it didn't matter. My mother wasn't around, but yours was, so it didn't matter.
Oh, stealing a line from Christian over here.
Well done. See, that's what I was looking for.
So, I'm going to do something, and I don't know. I apologize in advance if this is a bad topic. But I kind of want to take it off on a tangent. I got cut off by Beadle in the pregame social a while back before I could bring it up, and it slightly came up. What are your opinions on that Rolling Stone article about Hernandez? In terms of, do you think there's some truth to some of the things that was said, and do you think that there could be repercussions in terms of when the trial comes out and what is actually going to be said?
Well, there's no doubt that when the trial, you know, comes out, people from the Patriots are going to be subpoenaed and, you know, put on the stand, I'm sure, or have to give written testimony or whatever. As far as the article itself, there are certain things when it came to the Patriots part of it. I don't know about the angel dust and all that stuff. I have no idea, but there's certain facts that they brought out about the Patriots which are just patently false. I know them to be wrong. And so then that you know, calls into question that other stuff. So, I don't know. But, you know, the stuff about Belichick firing Frank Mendez and hiring Mark Briggs didn't happen. It did not happen. The stuff about, you know, if Frank Mendez had been here, they would know more. That's just wrong. It's just, you know.
There was so much that was so thrown in at the very end of it that was just accusatory. Yeah. But was there, do you think there was, I mean, they're not paying Hernandez his bonus, right? So they're saying that he was very sketchy in terms of the offseason.
Right.
And I did not know that.
Right. Well,
I thought he was a perfect practice. I thought he was practicing. Something came up, and he didn't practice with Brady in California, but he was supposed to.
Yeah, I think there lies, you know, some. It's probably the truth lies in the middle. You know, Jonathan Kraft was on the air saying, you know, he hit 80% of his offseason workouts. His bonus hit, you know, came into play if he had 90.
Right.
So they weren't going to pay him because he didn't have 90. But Jonathan was trying to say, but he had 80. So it wasn't like. We didn't know where he was all off season, you know. So that was kind of
But what? And the other thing that I thought that I took out was that was interesting is you know that Belichick was already on the edge of cutting him. That could be true. That seemed realistic.
Yeah, not to me.
It could be, but you know, then he would.
You guys are allowed to say whatever you want.
I'm with you,
Brian.
The article also said was he threatened to cut him. A year from then,
right, and that's why
unrealistic.
I
don't buy that. I mean, I could see him saying
that didn't make sense. About that.
Yeah, I think that there's
And I can't see Belichick. A guy comes up to him. I don't care who it is. Hey, I think my life is in danger. Okay, get a safe house and lay low. I just can't.
Yeah,
see
I mean,
that
what is that? That's
what is that? Ron Burgundy,
right? But that was a major when it comes to the Patriots' involvement. That was major, and it probably wasn't true. So now, what is true? You know, article becomes.
I don't look at it that way. I think there's some things that were portrayed in a way that probably weren't true, but weren't necessarily false. Like, Belichick didn't fire Frank Mendez, but they replaced Frank Mendez with Mark Briggs. So I don't care if it was Belichick or not. That doesn't really change the narrative to me. To some other people, it proves that the rest of the 30,000 words were false.
Well, you think Bill Belichick told him to get a safe house?
No, but I think he might have told him to be safe and to get out of his house.
I've been
get away from
to
these people.
Talk to you about
and that's
that.
It. He
you
wouldn't tell anybody. He would just keep it to himself.
I don't know, Fred.
See, I don't think that's realistic.
But I think that because it's not realistic that he told him to get a safe house doesn't mean the whole story was fabricated.
No, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but it causes you to pause.
Right.
I also think that he might have said, you know what, listen, there's nothing I can do, you know. Maybe when Hernandez went to him, he said he needed to get out of here, and Bill said, I can't do anything about it right now, but maybe after the season we can look at this again. We'll get you out of here if you need to be out of here. And that gets, you know, second, third hand. The story is he threatened to cut him at the end of the season.
Well, that's
which
the
I
other
agree
issue.
With you guys is unrealistic.
We know
that
this,
he would threaten to cut a guy after a whole season.
We know both of those things at the very least are second hand information.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it came between Belichick and Hernandez. And if you believe the other information in the piece that Hernandez was on angel dust and paranoid, well, now who knows how it goes in his head and comes out his mouth, right? I mean, whatever Belichick said to him, he may have honestly told his agent he threatened to cut me. But Belichick didn't say that. It's just it got lost in a drug-induced woo-hoo.
We don't know if he actually even had a meeting with Belichick at the combine, but we do know that Hernandez was in Indianapolis at the combine.
Yep, we do know that.
Oh, I was going to ask that. I was going to say, we wouldn't know if he was there. I did not know that. I did not know he was
reporters have
there.
Said that he was seen in Indianapolis
but that could be anything.
Combine. No, that's why I said, we don't know if he met
that
with,
could be.
We don't know if he met with
him. Why is a professional player at the combine? That doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, there's a million of them there for different things. All these companies have booths, and if I know he did spokesman work for different things. He could have been there for any number of a business arrangement.
So there are a lot of pros there.
Well, I won't say a lot, but there are a number. You see some guys, and sometimes it's because, You know, Gronk could go there because he does a lot. He does some.
It's not
training
like the Super Bowl, though, Fred.
No.
Not nearly like the Super Bowl. There's not players everywhere.
It's not like, oh my God, there's a pro. Why is he here?
No.
Who did he have a deal with?
I look at it like that.
He had a deal with some supplement company.
Muscle milk or something like that?
Okay. So it's very plausible that he could have been there for Muscle Milk. That is certainly a possibility. I have seen other people there in those types of arrangements, business deals.
Okay, yeah, I was not aware of. So, I just wanted to bring up the topic. Now, the second part of the question, though, is the trial is going to come up, and probably during the season, I would think, right? Maybe late?
Oh, I have no idea.
This year?
I heard June.
No, it's next year.
Next summer, they're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's going to take a full year to go to trial?
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
said.
I'm just going by what I've read. I don't know about June.
Now, I have a question along that line is, how do they make the differentiation between you have to go to court? Say if somebody's subpoenaed or you just have to give a deposition? Yeah, what?
I think both sides say, okay, we'll settle for a written thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it has to be a mutual agreement.
It would seem like at least
a lawyer.
A few of these people that could be involved would get that, would just have to do, and that could happen anywhere with a lawyer, right?
Right.
You sit in a room and
you could do it on video.
No, but I mean, it's on your time.
David.
But it's on your time.
Yeah,
it's not like, well, the Patriots have to get ready for the Jets in a short week and Bill Belichick has to take part in the Hernandez trial.
No,
right?
They would
There's a chance he could be deposed on a Sunday night somewhere and just does it and it's done and move on.
Yeah, more than likely would be done on his time.
I mean, that's going to stir up a lot of stuff,
oh, this thing is far from over.
Well, yeah, this thing is not going to go away anytime soon.
Now, with all this stuff,
but it's coming out.
No, it's kind of gone away, is my point, but it's going to come back.
Oh, for like a week and a half, 2 weeks?
It's also plausible, though, that they could call them to the stand.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know why you would have to go or not go if you're a player, a coach, an owner, a GM. Like, what would be the differentiation? Who might have to go and who might not?
And there's a lot of stuff, but the bottom line is I stay right where I was at the very start. I can't put the Patriots anywhere near responsibility for this, because even if you know all of the things that the Rolling Stone article said that they knew, you didn't know he was going to go out and kill people.
Yeah, I don't even really know.
Even if the Rolling Stone article was 100% accurate, which I don't believe it was, but even if it was, I don't see how you can then take the Patriots and put them, make them culpable for this guy then going out and killing people.
Well, I don't even understand why it matters. I don't really understand why it matters other than a public relations blow. Like,
I agree with Andy.
Like, what does it really matter?
It matters if the Lloyd family decides to sue because of the Patriots enabled him, and
but they'd have to be able to prove that they enabled him, and I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's a long shot, but it could be an inconvenience.
Certainly an inconvenience, and certainly some legal bills or whatever may have to be paid. But I just don't understand big picture. Any way you could say that they're culpable, as Paul said. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
All right. Let's get to a couple more calls. Make them quick because we have to get to picks. Patrick's in New York. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah, a couple of things.
Remember that thing about making it quick?
Yeah. My bad.
All right.
A couple of things. I think if somebody got testifying in court while you're talking about earlier that, if they're subpoenaed, they're going to give them, a time limit or something like that to show up. So they're going to have to make plans.
Okay.
And what I wanted to say, I think the Patriots should have did, a transition time thing, with the situation with Hernandez, people getting hurt. I mean, maybe get a couple of people off the waiver wire or veterans.
Well, they had veterans. They just didn't make the team. I mean, theoretically, Michael Jenkins and who are the other guys?
Lavelle Hawkins and Donald Jones
could have been transitional one-year type players, and they weren't good enough. They didn't make the team. Whatever it was, they're not. They chose to move on.
Yeah, because I saw the Giants just got Brandon Jacobs. I thought they could have had him at least for a year.
Well, he's a running back.
So I mean, do we need him? I mean, if we get rid of LeGarrette Blunt, okay, maybe you bring in a Brandon Jacobs, but
he
would seem redundant to me.
And the Patriots don't have problems at running.
Green now with his fumble woes and stuff.
Stephen Ridley, you mean?
They still have five running backs on the roster, even without Kareem.
Okay.
And Bolden is to me a tweener. I think he can fill some of the passing back role and some of the lead back role.
Right.
So assuming he can get help,
they do need help in wide receiver also.
Well, that's the question.
The receivers are thin, both wide receivers and tight end.
I just haven't heard
Patrick, thanks for the call.
Pose a name to me that I'd want to bring in, because I don't want to hear Lloyd, Branch, or Gaffney. I have no or Stallworth. You can take those four who would seem like easy fits and keep them, because I have no interest in those guys.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, maybe any too.
I'll do it very quickly. As I
rapido, rapido.
So to continue on the on the context of the previous caller, who else do we have left to call upon for wide receiver if we don't get the production from the people we have? Any veterans besides Moss? Obviously, I'm just kidding. That we could call upon and try to sign?
Nope.
Nothing. Huh?
I don't know who's available.
I don't really.
Now I said this to Fred yesterday.
So a disgruntled like number three or four guy on a team that might be able to help.
Not
you,
that I know
trade
of.
For?
And I didn't know they were going to trade
Wallace.
For.
Yeah, exactly. Mike
yeah,
Wallace.
I don't like. I didn't know they were going to trade.
Less
for...
than a 0% chance that
oh,
they would ever
that.
Trade for
I'm
him.
I'm only kidding.
No, I don't mean because of the player. They would never pay him.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't really have to pay him. Most of the bonus went to them, right?
So I guess we're stuck with what we have.
I think so.
Pretty much.
That's
yep.
not necessarily a bad thing. No. Give the youngsters a little time.
Right.
Just because they fell on their face in week one doesn't mean they're going to do it for five more weeks.
Yeah. I think we got to cut the cord and let these guys go and go with them.
Now, I might have felt differently in the offseason. I mean, but yeah. you are what you are right yeah. now.
Andy and I argued about this for the TV show. It's our trash talk. And I just said, listen, if we're still having these conversations 8, 9, 10 weeks from now, maybe I'll think differently of it. I'll think of it as maybe a wasted season. But I expect all three of those rookie receivers to make contributions at some point. I don't expect any of the three to step forward and be a guy that is, you know, a constant,
well, I
a reliable threat.
Give
every
me a
week.
Total number but, for the three.
Total number of catches for the three?
Catches, yards, touchdowns. Give me a group effort.
137, 14 touchdowns. But here,
14 touchdowns.
If you get 100, if you get 100 catches combined, would that be good?
Depends.
50, 30, 20?
Depends what's going on elsewhere.
But,
yeah.
But here's what...
If Gronk and Amendola are back and play the bulk of the year, then that's fine.
How about 100 catches for 1,200 yards?
That's not
for
good enough if Amendola's out for the year in
oh,
a couple
no, no,
weeks and Gronk
well,
is like, you know...
If Amendola's out for the year and they, you know, that's different.
But here's what
and you
can
got
happen.
Yeah, if Gronk and Amendola are here, that's fine. Yeah.
Here's what can happen for the Patriots in...
Do I have to throw it to them 1,600 times
be,
to get those?
They can't constantly be in 3rd and 7 or longer, you know, and expect these guys to, you know, bail them out. If Amendola's not in there.
Well, they certainly weren't the other day.
Yeah.
They were in a lot of third and
long. Third and long?
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were.
No, they
Toward
weren't.
Toward the end?
They had a million runs on 2nd and 10 that picked up like
I'm,
8 yards.
I'm telling you, Paul, down the stretch, were a lot of 3rd and 7. I was watching it yesterday on,
I think
they replayed it.
I think there was one. On the when Conley got the penalty to make it 1st and mm-hmm. 15, that created a 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
All the rest of them were very manageable.
Go through it.
I did.
I was watching it yesterday.
I did. That's what I wrote about.
They have to be better on first
Thanks
and second
reading.
Round. First and second down. Thanks, Olivier.
I think the second down runs were huge in that game. I think Vereen tore them apart on 2nd and 10. I think he probably had 4 or 5 10-plus-yard runs on 2nd and 10.
All right. Now it's time to do the picks.
Is there like a party going on in that other room over there? A lot of talk.
You know, they're having a show, too. So, Paul, what happened last week?
Well, you know, same old story. Paul wins.
Paul keeps the book. Paul
yep.
wins.
Paul keeps the book. Paul wins 12-4. Andy and Fred, 10-6. Eric, 9-7. With the spread.
Just like the Patriots.
Fred. Fred with the spread. See what I did there? 8-7-1. Wins the week.
Oh, boy. Not good.
Paul was second at 7-8-1. Eric 6-9-1, and Andy
taking it up the reach.
The spread is always tough.
5-10-1.
Guy, anyone that can go over 500 in week one.
Oh, shut up!
Spread, that's someone who knows his
shut
football.
Shut up!
It's true.
So that is where we stand right now. Fred with the win.
I actually think that's the luckiest week, and you just got lucky. You don't need to know anything. You just got to be lucky.
All right.
This is the toughest week, yeah. week two.
You want to get to the controversy?
Yeah, there is some controversy because Paul's bookmaking is not exactly the same as someone who's keeping track online.
Do you have the email open?
I was going to say, you don't have the
email. Oh, I don't have that email.
You've been teasing it for an hour and a half and you weren't ready with the
no,
email?
He's not the worst host in the business for nothing.
I don't have
nothing.
The email.
We did get an email from somebody, and I apologize for not having the name, but I just assumed that the host would have the email and would be reading it. He said to, because we're always complaining, and Andy is always saying that I keep the books, and that's why I win. He was going to keep track.
And he proved in week one that
you
cheat.
He kept track of all of the picks, and he listed them all, who everybody took. He didn't count them right.
So you're calling him a liar?
He
or just a bad counter?
He credited me at being 11-5, and then I went down the picks one by one, and comes out to be 12-4. And he also
funny how that works.
He gave us all a
didn't
loss.
Come out to be 10-6.
He gave us all a loss for a game that was a tie, a push.
Oh, ties don't lose.
Cincinnati in Chicago. Chicago was favored by 3 and won by 3. We all had the Bengals, so we all pushed. That's why the 8-7-1 for Fred.
By the way, Steve from Killeen, Texas, gives kudos to Eric for his quarter-by-quarter breakdown of the game. So
thank you.
There you go.
We'll do that every week after a game.
Thought I'd get that in there.
Thank you, Steve. After further review, it's called.
So I guess he just sent the email now. Yeah, he's
nothing
he's,
like
he's
screeching to a halt.
Sticking to it. He's got me at 8-8 for the spread. So he's not doing the push. He's got a Paul at 11-5. So he's sending it again. He's sticking to it.
I know. So go down and scroll down. Go through the picks if this means as much to you as you.
The 11-5 is a counting issue. The scoring differently
is
a separate issue.
Yeah, the push is a push. Right. You don't lose for a push in Vegas.
But you do in those little cards.
Yes, ties lose on a card.
Many, many times.
So, anyway.
All right.
He actually included his picks, so he didn't record any of the picks incorrectly. He just counted them incorrectly.
Okay. Let's go to the games now. We're going to skip over Thursday
night's
game.
We're going to come back to
Thursday. Which is an 8:25 game. We're going to go to Sunday at 1, St. Louis at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 7.
We got to hurry.
I will take the Atlanta Falcons at home. They are a good home team. As long as Matt Ryan can avoid soon-to-be Defensive Player of the Year Robert Quinn, he'll be all right. Although I was a little disappointed in the performance and points they put up in week one against a bad Saints defense.
Yeah, me too.
Because this Saint Rams defense is legit.
I will stick with the Falcons, though. I believe in them.
I believe I can.
To win and barely to cover. 8-point win.
Yeah, I believe that the Falcons will win, too, but I am not as high on the Falcons as most.
What's the spread again?
7.
Yeah.
I am going to take the Falcons, but if they don't cover at home against St. Louis, then maybe I just have to reassess completely where they are as a team, because I think a little bit more of them than
I'm splitting it down the middle. Falcons win, but do not cover.
Quinning.
Sunday at 1, Cleveland at Baltimore.
Who's at Baltimore?
Cleveland.
Thank you.
Baltimore by 6.5.
I'll take Baltimore to win and cover.
6.5. Yeah, Ravens will bounce back from the ugly opening loss. I'll take them to win and cover.
Yeah, I think it's a good team for them to play after such a terrible performance defensively in the second half against Denver. Cleveland not overly high-powered. They should be able to win this one and cover.
Yep,
and they've had 10 days to prepare.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go with Baltimore as well. Carolina at Buffalo, Sunday at 1. Buffalo, 2 home games in a row.
Carolina by 3 on the road.
I will take Carolina to win and cover. Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Buffalo with 2 home losses to start the season.
Okay.
Carolina wins and covers with the slightly better, more experienced mobile quarterback.
Yeah, I like Carolina big in this game. That was my sleeper pick for a outside the box playoff team, and they didn't do anything in week 1
they
to discourage me.
Had a tough loss to Seattle.
And they should have, D'Angelo Williams doesn't fumble the ball going in. Might have been a different story.
Yeah, I got to go with Carolina here.
No,
although,
12-7.
My heart kind of says Buffalo, but.
I know, because you have to somehow in your mind make out the Patriots to be better than they are.
Your heart actually says,
but
I can't do this anymore.
So it's Carolina?
Yeah. Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota at Chicago. Can a running team win a game in the NFL?
You didn't hear what Andy said, huh? Minnesota at Chicago, Bears by 6.5.
Bear down.
6.5.
Bear down, Chicago Bears?
Bear up.
I hate this game.
Oh, I already wrote down.
No, I was just saying something. Okay, Bears. I'll take the Bears. You wrote Bears. I'll take the Bears. I don't feel good about the game.
Now there's going to be crossouts.
There's going to be controversy next
now,
week.
Now, what's his face is going to be saying? See, he crosses them all out.
I will take the Bears at home. Peterson will have a big day, but it won't be enough. Bears will win the cover.
How come you didn't say Bears with 2 home games to open the season?
I didn't know.
I wasn't listening.
They're not in our division, so it's not unfair.
Right.
I will take the Bears also. I just don't think anything of Minnesota. I know they won 10 games and went to the playoffs last year. I think that's a bad team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
Chicago
as well.
10-win teams and teams that win 10 games.
That is definitely true. There's no doubt about it.
Who'd you go with?
Chicago.
Yeah, plus they both won 10 games last year.
Washington at Green Bay. Green Bay off a tough
bye.
Game.
By 7.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take Green Bay to win and cover. I didn't think RG3 looked like himself. I know everybody says, in 3 weeks he's going to be himself. I'll believe it when I see it, but as long as I see defensive linemen chasing him down from behind, I'll be concerned about their offense.
He looked like he was favoring that.
What is it about
leg?
The Redskins uniform that makes all their skill position players look bow-legged? I don't know why that is.
The socks?
Maybe.
I don't know if that's true. So I don't really agree with your premise.
As Roger Goodell would say.
I will take the pack.
Why is it
at
that
home?
Fred sees things no one else does?
Both ways, Paul.
I will take the Packers also. Good practice last week for RG3 and having a deal with Kaepernick. I don't think RG3 will throw the ball the way Kaepernick did, and the Packers will win.
Yeah, Packers here all the way. Tennessee at Houston, Sunday at 1.
Houston by 8.5 after their sterling comeback.
Hey.
What a dog of a game that was the other night.
Houston will win this football game and cover. Good football teams sometimes get past games they could have, should have lost, and they did that. And I think in this one they will play like they should play, and I think they know they're a better football team than they showed.
Most of that I agree with. Texans will win the game, but Jake Locker keeps it close.
Locker.
Give me the points, Paul, please.
I am tempted to take the points as well, but for Andy's reason, I'm going to take Houston. I think you come back home, you dodged a bullet, winning a game that you probably shouldn't have, and they know that. And they take care of business at home. Still, I'm still not believing
Network.
In the Titans.
Eric is right on the money here.
It's not that out of buy a
Houston wins the game,
is
but does not cover. So that's the way
Houston wins
it.
The game
Good
and
friend.
Does not cover.
Good friend.
What day is it in Houston? Because all their games have themes this year. I know ours is homecoming.
You're right.
What is the theme of this game? Does anybody know? Strippers, can you get on the theme of this game? Our old team, it should be the theme.
Miami at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1. Miami at Indianapolis.
Colts by 3.
I'll take
you see a 4-8 now?
I'll take the Colts to win and win cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not on the Dolphins.
I'm
see what
you.
The Dolphins
I was on
are
them
doing?
Last week. But
what do you think about them taking Thursdays off?
Yeah.
They what?
Instead of Tuesdays.
They're practicing Tuesdays and taking Thursdays off. I don't care for
Philbin's
it.
Philbin's giving them Thursdays off.
What?
Yeah.
That's told you odd. I didn't trust him, Paul.
I'm surprised that the NFLPA, I mean, I know they're getting a day off, but I'm surprised that the NFLPA.
Oh, no, you just have to have a day off.
Have to have a day off.
The Eagles
just
have.
Because everybody else, the Eagles have a different day, too, right?
Something, yeah.
But I'm just surprised that the union didn't say, well, you know, it's unfair because all the other teams are having the same day off and you're throwing their schedule off. And
no, I think they're getting Thursday off every week.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, the other teams in the league
well,
are
what?
Getting
you can't
a different
go out and play
off.
With your friends on the other team.
Where are you going on Tuesdays?
I don't know.
San Diego? Hang on.
I just don't like the.
You know how the
so
union always
started
gets involved
building
the
towards the week,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
you know, you get a day away. It's almost like you know Christmas vacation. The kid's got to come back and you know
right.
get back up to
right.
speed.
No,
I don't
you.
Care for it.
You know, Wednesday was always the start of prep for the new team.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we pound out this
right.
game week.
That's
the
way
hay's
we
in
do
the
it.
Barn.
That's because that's the way you do it. Says here, that's the way you do it.
It also seems to be logical. Of course you don't, because you went to Northeastern for a while. Oh, it's great.
Who do you have? You have Indy.
Yeah.
Eric,
I will take Miami to pull an upset here.
Me too. I'm taking Miami too, Paul. I'm right with you. Dallas at Kansas City.
Oh, good. You're not worried about the Thursdays off.
Good luck with that.
Kansas City by 3.
Good luck.
Over.
Dallas.
Cowboys. Where is it?
Kansas City.
It's in Kansas City.
Dallas.
Chiefs.
Why is that? Is Romo? I know he's going to play, right? Why is Kansas City?
He just had the win knocked out.
Did you watch the Cowboys in Week 1?
Yeah.
You have any faith in that?
I don't know.
I don't know. 6 turnovers and win the game by recovering an onside.
It's hard to take anything against those divisional games because, as we know, anything can happen in those games.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going to take the Chiefs. They're my upstart playoff team. This would be a nice 2-0 start to them at home. Tough place to play. I think Andy Reid is bringing back the tradition to Kansas City that was sort of squashed by the previous regime that really tore it down and did some damage
there. Eric, what do you got?
I will take the Chiefs to
only winners get
to win.
It's only a 3-point.
I know. But I'm going to take the Cowboys because I think it could be a last-second field goal.
Closer than
win.
The experts would think.
I hope that Andy is right, but I am going to take the Cowboys. Not quite ready to give Kansas City that status that Andy is.
Me too. You know, alas, Dallas.
I thought it was interesting that when Romo left, all the Joneses went down and had to, like, check in. Does that seem? I know he's the GM, but
well, they were keeping up with the Joneses.
But do you have to? I know all of them
Dallas,
have to go down.
But they can't lose enough, in my book. They really can't lose enough. San Diego at Philadelphia.
San Diego.
Eagles by 7.5. Chip Kelly does say, Andy, it was too slow.
I know. He wants 100 plays a game. 100 plays a game. They were on that pace.
There were a lot of times
half.
Where we left the ball on the ground and didn't give it to the official, and that cost them time in between plays, he said. Thought that was interesting.
I always wondered. You know, he poo-poos the play clock thing. I'm going to poo-poo the play thing. Isn't the idea to win the game, not necessarily to run 100 plays?
Plays?
It's like his focus is a little shifted.
A little off.
But if you run 100 plays, you're going
to
win.
No, I know, but the idea is to win, and they won. The idea is not to run 100 plays, just like he doesn't think the idea is to possess the ball for 42 minutes. Well, the idea is to win.
Yeah, right. Fred, you could run 100 plays, but that's because you threw a pick six or you fumbled and the other team returned.
I actually agree
losing.
With him.
Like the Patriots. Ran 80 whatever plays.
Your focus is off if you focus just on time of possession, but it's also off if you focus just on running plays.
It's just like running the ball.
The focus is to win.
I mean, everybody knows if you run it an X amount of times, your winning percentage is like 919, but you don't just run the ball the first 28 plays to make sure you get there.
The focus is to win, and the Eagles will win.
You're right.
I like what they're doing. They're making. I think they're going to make subtle improvements week to week. I just think he's going to maximize his playmakers, and that is what football is all about. Nothing else. Maximizing your playmakers, winning games. He'll do that this week.
Eric?
I think this is going to catch up to the Eagles sooner or later, and after blowing the game on Monday night, the Chargers come east. Mm-hmm. Tough game. Okay. Win big against the Eagles.
Okay.
I think the Chargers suck. I just don't think they're very talented.
I think neither one of these teams, I think, is very talented, but I agree with Andy. San Diego has no talent. However,
they got Woodhead.
I think that the Eagles.
Exactly. They have no real talent.
The Eagles, I think, will win the game. I'm going to take the 7.5. The Chargers coming across the country, they're wretched on the East Coast. I just don't see them winning a game on the East Coast.
Me too. I'm going to go with Philly. Okay, now we move to the 4 o'clock games. 4:05, Detroit at Arizona.
Detroit by one.
Detroit at Arizona by one. I am going to take the Arizona Cardinals to win this football game. I'm going to say that Detroit makes some of their dumb mistakes, and Larry Fitzgerald seems to really like the whole Carson Palmer thing here, and I think they're going to get it put on a show in the desert and put some points on the board.
Lions, better team. More skill overall, that wins. They'll go on the road, get a good win. Comfortable win.
All right.
I agree with Eric. I think the Lions win the game. Just better team.
I agree. I think Detroit wins.
Woo! Andy picked up a game on everyone.
Sunday, 4:05. That's not usually how it works, though.
No, and the record would seem to indicate that. Fred, you're right.
Yeah, because we got a lot to go on here. 1 week.
It's so
16
funny.
Games.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when you say something about it. He can't just let it go. He's going to lash
out.
He's unbelievable.
Nope, he's in the corner just punching wildly.
New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
New Orleans by 3.
New Orleans, we've been on the air for an hour and a half. I think they lost another starter on defense in that time period.
What happened to them?
Bunkley, their nose tackle, whatever. I mean, they literally lose. Every week I look like Will Smith. Every time I look up, they're losing Jonathan Vilma. You know, they just lose a guy every 5 minutes.
Well, lucky for them, they don't have any good players on defense.
That's kind of the point. They do have good players on offense, and that offense will put up the points. How many do they need?
3.
Yeah, whatever. New Orleans.
Yep, better team. New Orleans win, cover. Yep.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about this. I don't think the Saints play very well in Tampa, but I am going to take the Saints.
You know who else doesn't play well in Tampa?
The Bucs. I'm taking the Saints as well. All right, now
Tampa's a tough place to play.
These next two games are 4:25 games, so
okay,
I just want to make sure everyone knows that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Denver at the Giants, the Manning Bowl. Andy.
Denver by 4.5.
I'll take Denver. That offense is going to put up points regardless of who they play. Mm. And I hate Eli Manning, I've decided. You know, I hate him because of the looks.
Stupid.
I hate him because I wouldn't like him if he was my quarterback. There's just no consistency there. I know he's had the great postseason runs and all that crap. I just hate Eli Manning.
I will take the big brother to beat up on the little brother. 14-17 point win on the road for the Broncos, making it look easy again. Not 7 touchdowns, but they'll win comfortably.
I think 14 in a 2-game span probably be a record. Just saying it.
Might be.
Probably.
I will take Denver to win as well, but I'm going to take the points. Giants at home, I think we'll keep it close. Can't turn it over 6 times again.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Giants here, obviously, but Denver wins the game.
That sounded very Parcells-like.
Are you
Denver
with a spread?
With the spread.
Okay.
Sunday 4:25, Jacksonville at Oakland.
Oh, this is the game of the week, obviously. Beasley Reese and his twin brother will be doing this game.
I'm guessing this is the worst game of the year.
I can't imagine a worse game than this. Oakland by six.
I mean, one team scored 2 points last week. The other team's the Raiders. I will take Oakland to win and cover. But Jordan Todman, I'm rooting for you.
Oakland to win and cover.
Oakland by six, huh? Oakland will win. So ugly that it's going to be a cover. That's not going to be a cover. I'm sorry. That Jacksonville with the points.
I believe I said last week that I will lose the two games that the
because you won't pick
because I won't pick them.
You got to take the Jags.
No,
you
got to
take the Jags.
No, the Jaguars at home.
You got to stick to your rule. You got to take the Jags.
No, I can't do it. I'm going to take Oakland. Although, I will take the points. I'm with you, Eric. Oakland and Jacksonville.
I'm going to go Oakland both ways here.
It's going to be a 4-2 game.
All right.
That.
Sunday night.
Consecutive weeks.
Big game Sunday night. San Francisco at Seattle.
Big game. Something about eyebrows are on the line.
Seattle by
bet.
Three. Yeah. Kaepernick and Wilson.
And shave their eyebrows.
Agreed to shave an eyebrow. The
they have good commercials, by the
and
way.
And eyebrow.
I like,
so just
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
That looks really going to look stupid.
When Wilson Kaepernick's. When they're playing Madden.
Yeah, and like he's that's got like funny. The he stretches the goalpost. He's got the weights on his shoulder when he's throwing.
I figure Andy likes that part of it. You know,
look at the big football man lift weights.
I'm going to take the Niners. I'm just not on Russell Wilson. I'm just not on the Seahawks. I'm not on Pete Carroll. And Kaepernick looking like the real deal. So I'll ride him till
so far. So now the one game sample big for that. Looking like the real deal.
It goes
now.
Back to last year.
16 games.
I'm a Kaepernick
doubter. Not a good enough sample.
What are you babbling about?
I'm going to go with, I do believe in Russell Wilson.
I do believe in Russell
think,
Wilson.
I think for the second time in as many weeks, he gets it done. Scores more points than last week, though. And Seattle wins and covers.
I am going to take San Francisco. Not exactly sure why. I'm going all Eddie Enderman. I have a feeling.
I'm going San Francisco. I'm on both of these teams, but I'm on San Francisco a little bit more. So San Francisco wins the game. Okay, Monday night. This is an 8:40 kickoff. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
The Natty by seven.
Both teams, in my opinion.
When's the last time the Bengals were favored by seven over the Steelers?
Last year.
1975.
Okay.
Both teams need this game. Steelers certainly don't want to start the year 0-2, but I think they're going to. I think Cincinnati's the better football team at home. Mm-hmm. They should not have lost on opening day. They have aspirations of being something. Turn around now, go 1-1, beat the Steelers.
Yeah, I have to agree. The Cincinnati, I think, is going to win that division, and to do that, they're going to have to win tough games like this, especially at home. I think they win, and Pittsburgh goes 0-2, cover as well.
Yeah, I like the Bengals in this game. I thought they really gave one away last week. Some bad turnovers, while Pittsburgh just was terrible last week.
And Cincinnati as well, and this begins the will Ben Roethlisberger play next week. Era, you know, phase of this.
Oh,
season.
Especially you're right, Fred, because especially I mean, they lose Pouncey for the year. They lost three starters to torn ACLs in the first game.
So
you talk about, you know, the Saints, Pouncey, Stevens Howling, and Larry Foote. Larry Foote tore his bicep.
Even the return
ACL.
Of Jonathan Dwyer won't help. All right, now we go back to Thursday night, and an 8:25 kickoff, probably more like 8:35, because this is what NFL Network does. They get you at 8:25, then they start running commercials, and then they finally kick it off 10 minutes later.
Well, because they have all these stupid, now they have like a pregame show, but then they have something else that's not the pregame show, but it's like the something to kick off, or I hate when they do that.
Yeah, the coverage starts at like, you know, 8 in the morning.
Like now, it says kickoff tomorrow or something.
You know, no one fills time like Rich Eisen. He knows how to fill time.
And there it is.
All right, the Jets
and there's the running back.
New England. All the way up from New Jersey.
The underdog Patriots will be giving 12.5 in this one.
Only 12.5?
Yes.
Thought it'd be more. I am going to take the Patriots.
13 in some places, but it's 12.5 from the Herald.
I'm going to take the Patriots to win this football game because they're just the better team all around. The Jets have no offense. Geno Smith
if they can't get some pressure, make some plays
Andy,
on him.
You need to watch this stop.
What are we watching here?
Did they show the kid knock over the little kid knock over the dude trying to tackle him yet? I can't see now because Kevin's in the way.
I just stiff-armed a guy.
I lost all train of thought, but I think the Jets stink. But I am going to take the points because I'm just a little concerned about this Patriots team with turnovers right now. They've allowed a couple big plays, and I don't know if they're going to have the consistency on offense to pull away from somebody. So I'm going to take the points, but Patriots win.
Everyone thought it was going to be a blowout last week. It wasn't. Now they think it's going to be close this week. It's not. 28-10 Patriots.
Except for the bookmakers. They don't
think so. Yeah.
Patriots think it's going to be a. I mean, the bookmakers think it's going to be a blowout.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying the fans now are all concerned because of
because they're setting themselves up to have a miraculous win.
Exactly,
that's the way it works. Yeah,
right.
I think the Patriots will win the game. I agree with Andy. I think it'll be a little bit of a struggle. I don't think the game will be in doubt at any time in the second half like it was last week, but I think Jets maybe hang around a little bit. They're kind of in the game, but they're not really in the game. Patriots win 22-13.
Okay.
So the Patriots, and I'll take the points.
I'm right with you, Paul.
I don't see a scenario that the Jets can win the game.
Well, I don't know. I think if they turn the ball over on the one-yard line and another one returned for a 75-yard touchdown, that's how they can win a game.
But that's what I said last week. If they turn it over three times, it can be close.
Right, okay.
Same thing. If the Patriots turn it over three times again, it'll be close.
All right.
Last couple times we've seen him, they've turned it over a few times.
Seven turnovers in their last six quarters of play for the first offense.
John Rooks here. How you doing?
Excellent.
What's happening on the playbook today?
Happening on the playbook today. Manish Mehta is going to join us from the New York Daily News.
Tell him I said he does a very good job.
Tell him what you call him.
Well, he calls it the jet stream. I call it the urine stream. But that's not a knock on him. It's the knock on the Jets.
No, it's quite a compliment to him.
He actually, as I think most fans are probably aware, has been a sort of a lightning rod for some of the attention provided between the media and the Jets.
The story's about him.
Correct. And so...
See, I disagree. I think he's just doing his job.
Well, he made it about him.
I think it's a little of both, I'll be honest with you. I think he's been asked to do that. And we'll get into some of that if we get the chance to do that. But we also want to talk about this Jets team that still is a little bit of an enigma. Maybe they won somewhat surprisingly last week, but the fact is they're 1-0. They've got a lot of momentum on their side right now. So we've got that, and of course, the guru himself, Russell S. Baxter.
Oh, Buster Crab. Okay, great. Now that sounds like a good show. Buster Crab. That's worth listening to.
Now, you're going
to
be a little more Fred. Positive today. People seem to really be upset with you and Eric.
I'm surprised. Eric is very positive today. He has him winning and covering big.
Oh, maybe that's because people are so mad at him.
Right,
No, it's because
everybody thinks it's going to be close.
He thinks everybody thinks it's going to be close, despite the fact that the Patriots are favored by two touchdowns. This is part of the Patriots.
Leave you with this, as far as that's concerned. Eric and I will disagree today.
Okay.
Right. You're taking the Jets?
Wow, I didn't say that.
John Rook is taking the Jets.
I just said we're going to disagree.
This is a big show for the playbook. And then the replay comes out.
Thank you for that tease, Andy.
Tomorrow, no PFW in progress. PPGS starts at
6.
6 o'clock.
Big show. Prime time PPGS.
All right. So talk to the guys then. As far as I'm concerned, I'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.